much about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. Well, I'm sorry to add to your miseries, but I do have three pieces of bad news. In what order do you want them?
Oh, start with the least painful and work your way up.
Okay, one.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G. Ah!
I will totally accept the results of this great and historic presidential election if I win.
God had to raise up somebody like him that's not a traditional person. He's not a politician. But you see, God's having the last laugh because he's raised up Trump.
Halloween spooks outside my windows. Catchy little song, isn't it?
Two of those three in that band are still together. The other third one died.
They should all be shot. They should all die. That's all I'm saying.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
It's a mockery of all our work.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Here's my thought. I don't care.
Roll another one.
Kevin, goddammit.
Just like the other one.
I'd like to punch him in the face.
This one seems to be about to quit.
I know. Gross.
Another
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Wake up, I need to make money.
Roll another one.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Just like the other one.
That's real talk right there, man.
This one seems to be about to end.
You guys are dicks.
I don't have another cent.
I'm gonna quote a great man here and say, Daddy like you.
Where's the outrage there?
Right?
Just pass it around.
Who wants that?
Just never been able to refuse requests from young girls.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday, the 21st of October. Did I hear a little taste of the Rocktober early, maybe?
No. I don't know what you're talking about.
Were you? Did you actually physically figure out a way to make a mistake before you even got on the air for the first time this morning?
Define mistake.
Hey, let's check in if Ralph Garman is alive and can hear us, because I think he'll appreciate this first story. Ralph Garman, hello. Testing, testing, 1-2 testing.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
That's so weird.
How's Universal, my friend?
Universal Studios is going off this morning.
Yeah?
Let him hear it.
Wow, all those people giving blood at this time of the day.
That's
crazy.
We
had 250 people through the front door by the time I got here this morning, and there's another, I don't know, couple hundred people lined up waiting to get in.
Wow.
To the Globe Theater here at Universal Studios Hollywood. So it is, look, I've been doing this a bunch of years, and this is by far the best early turnout we've ever had. So hopefully this is a good sign for the whole drive.
How about that? That is wonderful. Well, like we were saying yesterday, you know, when we asked the K-Rock audience for a little bit of help, and in this case, you know, giving blood helps so many people, they always come through. So thank you to everybody that's down there today. And Ralph will be telling us more about it, and he'll be down there all morning long if you want to go by and say hi and maybe win some prizes, give some blood. We do have a big show today, and I wanted to get started, and I'm glad you're on early, Ralph, because I wanted your take on this story. It's another one of those controversial, a woman is selling her virginity stories.
Ah.
This
How
is
much
Catherine's.
Did you bid, Bean?
It's out of my price range, I'll tell you that. Catherine Stone is her name. She is 20 years old. And you see these stories from time to time. And it's a very complicated issue that a lot of people have knee jerk reactions to.
Not only me.
my feeling is, who am I to tell a woman what to do with her body? That's kind of the side that I come down
on. You're not in the government.
Let's see what you guys think. Catherine Stoner's her name. She's 20 years old. She hopes one day to become an attorney. She has decided to auction off her virginity because, well, she needs the money, obviously. Her family home in Seattle burned down. Oh. They did not have insurance, and they cannot afford to move. So they are living in a house that is gutted by fire.
Okay.
They're living in that house. And she looks around and she says, I don't want my family to live like this. This is terrible. We got to do better than this. What can I do? And then she realized she had her virginity intact, and that's what she has decided to do.
She realized at that point, hey, well, wait a minute. I'm a virgin.
She may have known ahead of time, but somehow a light bulb went off and she put two and two together. So she contacted Dennis Hoff. Anytime there's a story like this, Dennis Hoff somehow seems to be involved.
Sure.
He, of course, owns a number of legal brothels in Nevada. He has seven of them, I think. He employs about 500 women, and he has agreed to take her on. By the way, Dennis Hoff, in an interview on CNN that we'll see on Friday night during Lisa Ling's program, says that he receives 2 to 3 similar requests a week from people who are looking for his help in auctioning off their virginity. Now, I guess the reason they don't do it on their own, they don't just Craigslist it, is because they feel like there's some level of safety, security, and legality by going through a legal brothel, and Dennis Hoff is the guy they think of, right?
Yeah, makes sense.
So he has agreed to take her on. By the way, he's taking 50% of the profits of the final bid.
Oh, jeez.
That seems like too much of a cut, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Ralph, do you know, is that standard in his industry to take...
Ralph, what's the standard?
For myself, let me think what the cut is usually.
What's the standard pimp rate?
I asked Ralph because he did the Sex Cetera show for Playboy TV and other things. I thought this might have come up. I mean, 50% seems like a lot. Is that the traditional pimp prostitute percentage?
I'm not sure how it breaks down there in Perumph. But, I mean, it seems exorbitant. I don't think the girls who work for him have to give up 50% of what they make.
Yeah, it seems like too much to me
as
well.
He's trying to cash in on a big deal.
What do you guys suppose the current bid is for Miss Stone's virginity?
Well, you said it was out of your range, so it's got to be above $10.
Right, that's what I was thinking.
I think. I'm going to say 10 grand.
All right. Allie McKay?
I'm going to say 50 grand.
All right, Mr. Garner?
Well, this is like... It's like The Price is Right. If I bid a dollar and I'm under 10 grand, I win. I'm going to say $100,000.
You're the closest. It is right now a little over $400,000.
Wow.
Now, what's the draw, without getting into the details too much here, but what's the draw for the man to pay that kind of money for what will probably be the worst sex he has all year? Is it a badge of honor? It's what?
He's not doing it for the sex.
What's he doing it for?
He's doing it to be the first. There can only be one first.
Mm-hmm.
And so you are that guy forever. You get that. And there's a certain power and cachet to some men that comes along with that.
Right. Is that power and cachet, is that intact if you have paid for the privilege? It's not like she chose you because you're, suave and intelligent and you have a relationship or anything like that. I mean, do you still get the bragging rights?
Women are never suave and smart and intelligent, quite frankly.
Allie, you're a lady.
I am. Thank you for noticing.
I know it's not...
You are a nasty woman.
Thank you, Trump. Thank you.
I'm not suggesting it's for you or if it's for most people, but mm-hmm. Do you have a problem with what she's doing?
No. It's her choice.
Yeah, I don't either. I think it's great. She's only going to make 200 grand out of that four, which I think is criminal.
It's highway robbery. I think he is kind of a jerk for doing that 50%.
She says, I have the right to choose what I do with my body, and in this economy, do you blame me? So we'll see how that comes out. But right now, that's where it's at. It doesn't say that there's a specific deadline for at which point all bids were in, but right now it's at $400,000. So I just thought that was an interesting story and I thought I would share.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I think you're both drunk. I smell alcohol.
Ralph Garman on location at K-Rock's Vein Drain Blood Drive down at Universal Studios. He will be there all day. We also have R.J. Bell talking to us from Las Vegas about his Week 7 NFL picks. Who's going to die, do you think, on The Walking Dead, which comes back Sunday?
Eeny, meeny, miny, mo.
Remember the Lucille?
The bat?
Lucille?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
You guys have a theory? You guys have a theory on who's going to die?
I think I know, yeah.
I mean, we all know who we want to die, Carl, but who's really going to die? I guess that's what we'll find out.
I have a guess, but I don't. Who knows?
I think it's Cliff.
There's no cliff.
There isn't a cliff. Not familiar with cliff.
There should be a cliff.
We also have Rachel Bloom on the program today from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. A brand new internet roundup, and that's coming up today on the show. We will take a break. We'll come back with Ralph Garman and the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:55.
In honor of Ralph Garman being down at Universal Studios today with the K-Rock Vein Drain Blood Drive, we're gonna remind you of a woman that we met a few years ago on My Strange Addiction who is addicted to drinking blood. You won't believe how much blood this lady drinks.
She's called a vampire, Bean. Use her proper term.
She's drank over 1,000 gallons of blood in her life.
That can't be good.
So enjoy your breakfast. That's coming up just after the top of the hour. First, here's Ralph live from Universal with the Showbiz Beat.
I want to give folks the heads up who want to head down to Universal Studios Hollywood to give some blood this morning. Here's what you need to do. I want to give you the specifics in case you're in your car and you need to know where to go. You want to get to the Frankenstein Garage, which you can get to right off of Lancashire, the Lancashire exit there at Universal Studios Hollywood. Go all the way up to the top of the hill, park in the Frankenstein Garage. That's where you can park for free. Then you take the elevator to the 8th level. We're at the Globe Theater right near the Minions ride and some other cool stuff. And you'll see it once you come off the elevator. But it's a little tricky sometimes to get here, especially if you're doing it for your first time. So I want to give everybody a heads up to make sure they get here so they can donate blood this morning. Happy Back to the Future Day, everybody.
All right. Do we do this once a month now?
I feel like it.
People here are excited, so shut up. It's October 21st. That's the day in the movie Back to the Future Part 2 where Marty, McFly, and Doc and Jennifer, they go into the future. Last year was the actual year. It was 2015, but now we get to celebrate every year October 21st.
Oh, I gotcha.
Did you say get to?
Yes.
Okay.
We're allowed to.
All right. Good.
You're a dick. Marty, we have to go back in time and call Kevin a dick.
Done.
Also, I want to let everybody know that Anderson Cooper looks like he's going to be getting married. It's the great thing about legalizing gay marriage is now that the parents of gay people can bother them to get married, too, can give them a hard time. And apparently he was getting pressure from his mother, Gloria Vanderbilt, to marry his longtime boyfriend, Benjamin Maisani. And it looks like they are planning a wedding for the beginning of next year. And Gloria Vanderbilt, who, of course, you know, is a gazillionaire, she's going to pay for it. And she said she wants to have one more happy occasion in their family's life before it's all said and done. Which
wow.
sets the tone for a wedding, doesn't it?
Is she going out? What's happening?
Well, she's 92 years
old. Yes, very old.
Aww.
All right.
And I think she wants to have one big, more glitzy affair in the Vanderbilt family before she cashes in her chips. So Anderson Cooper and his boyfriend apparently getting married soon.
Kathy Griffin is going to be devastated. I think she still thought she could turn him.
Well, look, there's time. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
You know, it is Halloween time. Thought you guys might be interested to know the top 10 pet costumes this year.
First of all, there should be no pet costumes.
Pet costumes.
Right?
If you dress up your pet for Halloween, somebody should come and take your pet away from you.
Wow.
I'd go that far.
That's coming from a guy who put a birthday hat on his dog.
That's true. That's not me. That's Mrs. Bean.
That is true.
Well, take her down, man. Do the right thing. Top 10 pet costumes. Action superhero, just any generic superhero, is number 10. A cat is number 9.
Oh, that's just rude.
Especially if you're a dog, right?
Right.
Right.
Superman at number 8. A witch at number 7. Any Batman character is number 6. Number 5, the devil. Do you really want to dress your pet up as the devil?
I feel like if you dressed your pet up, Ralph, that's what you would dress yours as.
Oh,
no,
Reggie.
Reggie's not a devil.
Reggie's the devil.
No, I'd make him the Cowardly Lion or something from The Wizard of Oz. Star Wars characters are popular at number 4. And the top 3, Bumblebee, Hot Dog. See, because especially if you have a dachshund like me, you dress it up as a hot dog because it's a long dog. And it looks like a hot dog. It's got buns.
Right.
And number 1, we think the number 1 pet costume is?
Vampire.
No.
I swear to God, if it's Donald Trump, I'm rioting.
No, it's a generic costume that you wouldn't expect. It's not like a person or anything. Okay. It's a thing. I'll give you that much of a hint. It's a thing.
It's a thing?
Mm-hmm.
It's a thing.
It's a fruit. It's a fruit.
A fruit?
A fruit. Let's just keep repeating, Ralph.
it's a fruit.
People who dress their dog up as like a tomato or an apple or something? Is that what we're talking about here? Banana?
Strawberry.
A banana.
Pumpkin. How did none of us think of a pumpkin?
Well, when you think Halloween, Kevin, you really don't think pumpkin, so I can understand why.
Pineapple was a better guess, right?
Wow.
Strawberry.
Listen, it's a fruit, right? You said a fruit.
It does qualify.
Thank you, Kevin.
It does qualify.
Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Carrie Fisher, 60 years old today. Princess Leia herself. Amber Rose, model. Dancer. She was on Dance with the Stars, and she's got that Loveline podcast she does now. She's 33 years old today. And Kim Kardashian also celebrates her birthday. Now, yeah, I know. I received an email. We don't have any time here. We'll talk about it in the next hour, about someone's impassioned plea that we not mention Kim Kardashian's birthday for the rest of the day. So we'll get that in the next show.
And I guess I have to give her a bell, right, even though we all hate her.
If you're giving Carrie Fisher at 60 a bell, I think.
Wait, you gave Carrie Fisher a bell?
Yeah, he gave Carrie Fisher a bell.
I was not paying attention, and we're going to need to have that conversation as well. When you hear the words Carrie Fisher, you think gold bikini. It's kind of a reflex, right?
Nope.
Okay. But did you and Doc Brown get in the DeLorean and go back in time to ring that bell?
Oh, it's been taken back.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'll allow it.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Come on, Kevin. Tell him about the thing.
The thing is that we are having the K-Rock Halloween Costume Ball.
And now, breaking news bulletin.
I feel like I had already started.
Sorry. Yeah. Go ahead.
All right. We are having a K-Rock Halloween costume. We're having...
And now, a breaking news bulletin.
Okay, now you're on. Go ahead.
Listen every hour today from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. to win K-Rock Halloween Costume Ball tickets and featuring a little band by the name of the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yay!
Why, they're awfully popular to be playing our party at the Fonda next Friday night.
That's your input?
That's what I got.
Come on.
Seems like a pretty big band to be playing that show.
And it's next Friday night, which is the 28th.
Okay.
So you can start winning those tickets this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Wow.
By the way, they're having a Halloween costume contest that night, and somebody there who comes dressed up in a costume is going to win $5,000 and a 65-inch 4K TCL smart TV. How about that? You go home with all that money and the TV, and you've seen the Red Hot Chili Peppers for free. It's a pretty good deal. Get all the details at KRock.com. All right, we're going to check in with Ralph Garman back at Universal Studios in a few minutes. He'll be down there with the movie beat. He has people giving blood today, which is a wonderful thing to do. And that got me to thinking, do you remember the lady, her name was Michelle, that we met on My Strange Addiction a few years ago, who is addicted to drinking blood? You guys remember her?
No.
Well, you got to meet her right now.
My name is Michelle. I am 29 years old. I am a tattoo artist, and I am addicted to drinking animal blood.
This is what I love about the world in which we live, is instead of putting her in a straitjacket and in a home, we put her on TV.
Right, on TLC, which is the right thing to do.
Right, the Freak Show Network, exactly. When did this peculiar habit begin, I wonder?
Blood is as important as water to me. I like to drink blood when I'm reading, when I'm relaxing, when I'm watching TV, when I'm painting. Mm-hmm. It's never a bad time for me to drink blood.
Michelle has been addicted to drinking animal blood for the past 10 years.
10 years?
She needs 7 liters a week to satisfy her cravings and can't start her day without a sip.
I wake up in the morning, I pour it into my coffee cup. I drink it. I get energized. I like to cook with blood. I like to make it in soup. I like to cook it with stir fry. When I make Bloody Marys, I use vodka, hot sauce, and then I add the final touch. The blood.
Now, Allie, I see you gagging a little bit while you listen to this.
I am not going to her cocktail party.
If you could see it. I mean, when you actually watch her pouring buckets of blood into everything. I mean, it's amazing.
Is this an obsession or is it like a clinical, syndrome?
There's something wrong with her.
That's interesting. Chemically, or does she crave something that's in the blood that she's not getting? So it's something like a nutrient or something.
Or is she a vampire? She does end up going to the doctor at the end of this, as they always do on My Strange Addiction. This is one of the reasons Kevin and I fell in love with the show, is because people are doing crazy things like eating sand.
Right.
And then they get talked into going to the doctor, and then the doctor says, it's horrible. Whatever you do, don't do it anymore. It's terrible for your health. And what do they do, Kevin, every time they walk out of that doctor?
100% of the time they go, I'm going to keep doing it.
Now, you may be wondering, what's the best kind of blood to drink?
I prefer pig's blood to beef blood. because I prefer the gaminess. It's a little bit more salty than the beef blood. The consistency is like that of wine. It's just slightly thicker. And it doesn't taste like wine, but it definitely has the same ambiance. I feel it going down my throat. It's like having a cold and drinking a hot toddy.
Is it?
I get irritable without it. I get angry. I don't want to leave my house. I want my blood.
She's a prize.
She's something else. And, you know, we were wondering, where do you get blood? I mean, I wouldn't
Animal sacrifices, being
nope,
you know that.
Fortunately not.
She worships the devil. And,
nope. Fortunately, she's not killing anything for any blood. She's just going to butchers. And apparently that's a thing. I guess I didn't know. But some people buy blood because they want to use it to cook in.
That's a normal cooking thing?
Apparently, I mean, I think that is fairly common in some recipes in some cultures, maybe?
Gut barded! Gut barded! Fabulous!
Right?
Outstanding!
Right?
Wonderful!
Uh-huh.
Terrific!
Yep.
Gut barded!
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Gut barded!
Right.
Now, you may be wondering, how would something like this start? I mean, she looks like she's around 30, maybe. She's been doing it for 10 years. So what was the first time like that she decided she was going to start drinking blood, and why?
Michelle's addiction began as a teenager when she was struggling with a deep depression.
When you feel so beaten down, that's all you know. You don't even want to leave your bedroom. You don't have friends, nothing, which is why I started self-mutilating.
Okay, so here's what the first time felt like.
When I saw that blood drip down my arm for the first time, I felt real. One day, I just decided to taste it, and I've been tasting it ever since.
Once Michelle overcame her depression, she stopped tasting her own blood.
I haven't actually cut myself for years. I associated personal self-mutilation with severe issues. And once I got past that, I never looked back.
I feel like Dr. Drew could spend the rest of his career just trying to fix this woman, don't you?
Yeah!
Well, it's great that she's... Okay, sir. It's
all
great.
Right.
Okay.
All right.
It's great that she's not cutting anymore, but she's just kind of transferred it to something else.
That's a serious problem. Yes. This is just good fun.
All right, Kevin. It's fun.
She does, as I mentioned, she does go to the doctor at some point, and it occurs. I think somebody in the episode says to her, hey, you know, you don't know what's in that blood. You're kind of just taking it from the butcher right to your house. You don't know anything about those animals or their background. Maybe you ought to get checked out just in case there's some health problems as a result of drinking all this blood. It's not, again, it's very different from a blood bank where everything is tested for disease, right?
I prefer pig's blood to beef blood.
That's not the right clip at all. That just jumped is what that is. So she does, if this is the right one, she does go to the doctor and we'll see what he has to say.
But Michelle's addiction has reached a shocking level.
I drink human blood as much as I can.
Okay.
I haven't actually had a sit-down just like, yo, doc, what's up with my blood drinking?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Maybe you should.
Only because I don't want to have to deal with, you know, just telling me constant negatives.
So that's the problem. You go to the doctor and he's
right.
just going to be a downer.
You
so
know?
Negative.
He's just going to try to talk you out of what's making you so happy. So let's see what the doctor has to say.
The results of your tests are back. And I'm happy to say that the viral studies, which included the hepatitis and HIV, were negative.
So she's healthy physically. The blood's not harming her.
It's not hurting her. That's surprising.
It is a little bit of surprise because I would think that any doctor would say, please don't do that. Well, fortunately, that's all Michelle needs to know that it's okay to continue.
The main thing that I got from this doctor's visit is that I'm going to definitely make it more of a habit to come to the doctor to get my blood tested. But from where I stand now, my blood drinking will not stop.
Well, it's not going to stop because why would it? So that's what she does, and that's her life right there. Just in time for Halloween and just in time for your breakfast, you're welcome.
Yum, yum. Give me some of that.
Friday morning. I think you know what that means. Ralph Garman's here with the movie beat. Hit it, beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's movie beat. Welcome to my world.
Well-oiled machine.
Right?
Yeah. Really impressive.
Thank you.
Six new movies in Southland Cineplexes this weekend for you to check out. Something for everyone. Literally something for everyone this weekend. Let's kick things off with a movie that's in limited release. It is called American Pastoral. And I would be interested in this film regardless because of the cast. Ewan McGregor, Jennifer Connelly, Dakota Fanning, Peter Riegert all star in this film. But what makes it even more interesting is that the director is also Ewan McGregor. He directed the film as well. Hmm. Story of a family in the late 60s who are your standard American middle-class family, and their lives get turned upside down when the daughter of the family, Dakota Fanning, becomes a politically active young lady, and she flies in the face of everything her father believes in. Here is a scene from American Pastoral. Ewan McGregor talks to his daughter, as I mentioned, played by Dakota Fanning, about her protesting.
You want to protest the war? Protest it right here in Old Room Rock.
What am I going to do, march around the post office?
Bring the war home. Isn't that the slogan? Look, they gave me this award. It's just a stupid plaque, but it means one thing. If you take a stand, people notice. If you oppose the war, right here, with all your strength, this is part of America too, you know.
Revolutions don't begin in the countryside.
We're not talking about revolution.
You're not talking about revolution.
Oh, snap.
Right? Kids, huh?
Huh?
With their peace.
Right.
Damn them. With all their peace and don't kill. Hate kids. Also this weekend, just in time for Halloween, 31 is released in limited selected theaters. Rob Zombie's the director. Master of horror, Rob Zombie returns with a story. Oh, this is terrifying. Because, first of all, clowns, right?
Ugh. Clowns!
Story of five carnival workers who are kidnapped and then held hostage in a compound where they're forced to participate in violent games against 31 sadistic clowns.
Nope.
If they survive for 12 hours, they get released. If they don't survive, well, then they're not released. Because, you know, they didn't survive.
Right.
Because they'd be dead. Malcolm McDowell stars in this film. Sherry Moon, Zombie, Rob's wife, of course. Richard Blake, Jeff Daniel Phillips. Here's some clips from the trailer of 31.
Tonight, we are going to play 31.
And all you have to do is survive 12 hours of our own private hell.
They say we hunt these freaks down and slit their throats.
Now we have ourselves a game.
Murder school? It's now in session.
31 is war. And war is hell.
Right?
No,
right?
Sir.
You are going to die tonight.
You are all going to die tonight.
I mean, it's Halloween-y, I guess.
It sure is. And speaking of my own personal hell, Boo, a Madea Halloween also is released this weekend. Director, writer, star Tyler Perry returns as Madea. Oh, she is a funny lady, isn't she, that Madea?
How many of these have they made, Ralph?
407 wow. Madea movies have been made.
I feel like one comes out every 3 months.
Yeah. It's
and they're all huge, right?
Oh, yes. This will be a monster hit as well, I'm sure. Madea has to take over a bunch of misbehaving teens, and then the chaos ensues when she's also caught up in the middle of killers and poltergeists and ghosts and ghouls and zombies while she's protecting the kids. But they don't stand a chance against Madea because hallelujah, right? Who's with me? This movie sounds terrifying on every level. Here are some scenes from the trailer of Boo, a Madea Halloween.
Mom, what is it?
You see something scary?
It's a wild beast.
You see white people.
I saw it in a movie. When she answered the phone, she got dead.
Now who the hell is it?
Hello, dear. Do you want to play a game?
She will never let you
nice costume, dude.
Show us your boobs.
You want to see her? Behold. Paradise.
I need a drink.
I used to get dollar bills for this.
That's a movie.
But that's a...
That's going to be shown in theaters.
What? That's coming out in theaters?
What night are you going, Kevin?
I am not going to that movie.
Oh. You were laughing in the trailer.
Shut up,
he
Jeff.
Was laughing, Ralph.
Because it sounds bad.
I am leaving this blood drive and going to the studio to kick your ass.
He was laughing.
Come on now. We're all on the same team here, right?
No. Not if you're laughing at Madea.
He was.
Not if you're laughing at Boo, a Madea Halloween.
I was not. Kevin, Chip made that up.
You are now living on Medea Island by yourself. I'm sorry.
Sucks.
Were you laughing at, you see white people? See, because the line is, you see dead people, but they're scared of white people.
Right.
See, that's where it's funny.
Right?
Who thinks Kevin's going to eventually see this?
Oh, personally? This afternoon.
How dare you.
Also scaring people out there this week is Ouija, Origin of Evil. This looks genuinely terrifying. This is a story of a mother and her two daughters who are scam artists. They run fake seances to rip people off, and they use a Ouija board while they do it. Well, guess what? The ghosts will have none of that, none of their shenanigans, and a real poltergeist shows up through the Ouija board into their home and takes possession of her youngest daughter. What do you do then when you got a real ghost in the house?
Move.
Well, your daughter's possessed.
Yeah, you don't tell her.
You got to leave her.
Don't give her the address. Yeah.
No, you have to save your daughter.
That's what we meant.
Right.
Oh.
Elizabeth Reaser stars in this film along with Henry Thomas. Good cast. Here is a scene from the film where Elizabeth Reaser is trying to negotiate with the ghost to get out of her youngest daughter's body.
I can help you.
She's a better vessel.
What do you want from her?
Voice.
Take mine. You can cut it out for all I care, but you leave my girls alone. Let them go. Take me.
We'll take all of you.
Okay.
We'll take all of you, thanks.
Okay. Oh. All right.
We'll take all of it.
Okay. Not so much a negotiation.
No. It's pretty much a hostile takeover, really, is what that is. Keeping Up with the Joneses opens up this weekend. This looks funny, right?
It does.
Am I alone in thinking this looks
funny? No, I think it looks funny, but I don't think you want to be on my side.
Zach Galifianakis and Isla Fisher star as a couple, a typical suburban couple, and they've got brand new neighbors, John Hamm and Gal Gadot, who move in next door. Turns out they are government spies. You know how that is sometimes
sure.
when your neighbors mm-hmm. become spies?
Mm-hmm.
And then wackiness ensues. Here are some clips from the trailer of Keeping Up with the Joneses.
Yeah, two.
Two?
Yeah, whatever he's having.
Two Sejus coming up.
I gotta tell you, Spice and I don't sit very well together. There's certain ramifications the next day, you know, toilet-wise, but...
This is not that.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Okay.
All right.
Look at all these little ethnic condiments. So cool.
That is soy sauce.
Soy sauce.
Try this.
Mmm. Wow, that's good. What is that? That looks like a snake.
Jeju, man, snake wine. That's real cobra.
Do you have tab?
Yeah, that's my bad. But that scene was John Hamm taking Zach Galifianakis to an exotic restaurant.
That sounds funny.
Yes, it does sound
Do you have
funny.
Tab?
Do they even make tab?
I don't think so.
And lastly, Jack Reacher, Never Go Back. Well, we are going back, right, to see this new Jack Reacher movie, Jack Reacher 2. Tom Cruise returns as Jack Reacher, a former government agent who is on the run from the law this time because he has been framed, and he's got to clear his name by reaching into his past, and that's when he uncovers something from his past that will change his life forever. Kobe Smulders also stars in this film along with Tom Cruise. Edward Zwick is the director. Here's some clips from the trailer of Jack Reacher, Never Go Back.
Jack Reacher for Major Turner.
Major Turner's been arrested.
On what charge?
Espionage.
He's been set up. Maybe I rip your arm off and beat you to death with it.
Reacher?
He's here to kill you.
My men were shot by one of our own.
This is bigger than I imagined.
You think you're above the law. But I'm not the law. So you should start running, because I'm going to start hunting. And when I find you, I'm going to kill you all.
Wow.
Right?
He takes his Scientology seriously. He was going to rip my arm off and beat me to death with it right there in that clip. Jack Reacher Never Goes Back. I'm assuming that will be the big hit of the weekend.
I saw the last Jack Reacher, and it was great.
Yeah, it was a great action film, and Cruise is great in it. So those are your picks for the weekend. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie.
Right. Right. Right.
Right.
How long's The Walking Dead been off? I feel like their season breaks are longer than other shows. Am I wrong about that, or does it just seem like it because I'm so excited it's coming back?
I don't know.
Seems like it's been gone about 2 years.
It does seem like it's been way too long, but it is coming back this Sunday.
Sending that on AMC, it's going to be season 7, consisting of 16 episodes broken into 2 8-episode half seasons, and we left, as we do almost every season, on a real cliffhanger. Jeffrey Dean Morgan, by the way, as Negan.
unbelievable. Such a scene stealer, right?
Yeah, he's fantastic.
Fantastic. And I know folks who have been reading the comic books, and Chip, you're one of them. I know you've been looking forward to this point in the story for a long time to see Negan's arrival. And what we've learned from over the years of The Walking Dead is that it doesn't always line up with what happens in the comics. So in the comics, if I remember correctly, Negan kills Glenn, correct?
Yes.
Okay. That could happen again. We might see
Spoiler alert.
We might tune in Sunday night and see Glenn going. But, Kevin, why don't you set up this final scene, and then we'll have a discussion about who's likely to get the bat to the head.
Well, at the end of the last episode, it's Negan with his bat Lucille. Mm. And he's got them all on their knees, and he's going to kill one person.
With the bat?
Yes. With barbed wire wrapped around it.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a pretty way to go.
But it's basically that was the cliffhanger. Someone is going to die. Who should it be? Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. And it was really freaked you out. So this scene that I'm about to play is Rick, who, of course, is the leader of the Walking Dead group. And he's talking to Negan. And he's actually on his knees talking to Negan and threatening Negan's life.
I'm going to kill you. I didn't quite catch that. You're going to have to speak up. Not today, not tomorrow, but I'm gonna kill you. Jesus. Simon, what do you have? A knife?
You had a hatchet.
A hatchet?
Yeah, Max.
Simon's my right-hand man. Having one of those is important. I mean, what do you have left without them? A whole lot of work. You have one? Maybe one of these fine people still breathing? Or did I
already kill him? So.
Wait, who's this right-hand man? Did he say Simon?
Yeah, that's Negan's right-hand man.
So he's asking Rick who his right-hand man is, suggesting that he might kill one of them.
Right. So is that a hint as
is
to who's going to
die? Is that a hint that it's not a girl, right? That it's not going to be Michonne or it's not going to be
Sasha? Well, I don't know. I would consider Michonne his right-hand man, so to speak, right?
Or, plot twist,
Carl?
Simon.
Who?
He kills his right-hand man.
His own?
He doesn't kill his own guy.
Why would he kill his own right-hand man?
You didn't think of that, did you?
I didn't.
See?
Because it's stupid.
Boom. Boom.
I think if anyone is... By the way, if you have a theory, if you've been thinking about this all summer like we have, and you have a theory as to who gets killed Sunday night, call us. 1-800-520-106. Michonne is definitely Rick's right-hand man, unless Daryl is. Daryl is even maybe more and goes back longer with Rick as a right-hand
right,
man.
Right, but Negan doesn't know, so maybe even Morgan.
Huh.
Right?
Morgan's not there.
Oh, he's not there.
No, Morgan's not there. It's Glenn, Rosita, Daryl, Michonne, Abraham, who seems to be the fan favorite, by the way, online. Maggie.
Wait, fan favorite meaning people love him or people think he's going to
people
be the one?
People think he's the most likely to die.
That's my guess,
too. Wait, is that Michael Cutlets?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, I refuse.
That's my guess, too. That's my guess because he's a really strong character. And so Negan would think, hey, this might be his right-hand man.
But do you kill off a strong character?
The Walking Dead does it all the time.
Well, that is rude.
Yes. They have killed so many people that we've loved. I'm still hurting over losing Merle.
And in the comic book, Abraham had already died before that. In the show, Denise got the arrow through the eye. That's how Abraham died in the comic book.
I'm sticking with Simon.
Yeah.
It's not going to be
Simon.
It might be Simon.
I don't
Who's
think so.
Who's the kid that eats all the pudding?
Carl.
Yeah,
now,
he should go too.
That's what I'm
Simon
saying.
Simon and Carl.
Carl could just be collateral damage. And actually,
right, now here's the one thing. I mean, look, there are people who are going over this thing like the legendary Zapruder film of the Kennedy assassination, looking for hints. Okay, but the one thing that is fairly obvious that is put out there is something that Negan says while he's twirling his baseball bat around, which is something about if anyone acts up, cut the boy's eye out and feed it to his dad. Remember? Which suggests that it's not going to be Carl because Carl's going to still be sitting there and you can rip his eye out and feed it to his dad, which suggests that it's not going to be Rick. So I think we can take both of those two out of consideration for who gets the baseball bat, right?
Okay.
We wish it
were makes
Carl,
sense.
But it's not going to be Carl, unfortunately.
No. I feel like I'm the only one that wishes it was Carl.
And... All right. So you're saying Abraham, Kevin?
That would be my guess. He's also a much more recent character. He wasn't on all first, six seasons.
Mm-hmm. But he was so good in Southland.
And that's right. Consideration here.
I don't think that's the point, though.
Oh.
Chip, what's your guess?
I was thinking Abraham, too.
You're also thinking Abraham. Well, I've got Eugene, and let's see if...
I'd love it to be Eugene.
Let's see what... He's got the best mullet on TV, though. Let's see what Cindy and Placentia has to say. She's got a Eugene theory as well. Let's see if it lines up with mine. Cindy, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. Talking this Sunday's Walking Dead. What say you?
I think it's definitely Eugene. He has just kind of come into his own.
you know, people were starting to respect him. He kind of, you know, made peace with Abraham. He talked about the whole sorghum thing. Mm-hmm. And he's a character that if he goes in the first episode, it's not that big of a deal. People aren't going to be too pissed off and not want to watch.
I'll be happy. I don't know how he's made it this far. He's the least, that character is the least likely to live in this world.
Well, see, so created. Perfect example that he gets killed by Negan.
But Kevin, you say that, but look, I agree. I thought Eugene was annoying and he was a coward and all of that. But haven't you seen and enjoyed the evolution of how he has stepped up and learned how to fight, how he did the thing where he taught them how to make bullets? I mean, now he's actually a contributing member of the party, and there would be something poetic about him getting struck down now just when he's starting to really come into his own, I think.
Exactly my point.
And I feel
I'd be fine with that.
And I feel like he's been around long enough that it would hurt the group. You know, I think there'd be some real emotion there in losing Eugene, and I don't think they'd have that for somebody like Aaron, you know, somebody that we just don't care about.
You don't think the entire group would go, finally, that guy's gone.
No, I think they like Eugene.
Pain in the ass that guy
I
is.
Do.
Thinks
right,
he knows everything.
Thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate that. Let's go to Melissa. She's in Montclair.
That was Cindy, but okay.
Let's go to Melissa. She's going to say something that is going to cause some people to want to burn this mother down.
Hey, Melissa.
Okay. Hey, how's it going?
Good. Walking Dead. Who dies?
Yeah. I know everybody's going to get upset about this, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be Daryl. It has to be Daryl.
What have you heard? If Daryl dies, we riot. That has been the rallying cry of Walking Dead fans. Why Daryl?
Exactly. Well, think about it. They gave him his own show so that people won't riot. Like, it's like a little taste of Daryl. It's all about him. So, I mean, Norman Reedus is, like, an amazing actor, but they're going to have to kill him off because he's the only one that isn't in the comics, and they need to get rid of him.
I'll be so upset.
I will, too. He's one of my favorite
characters.
I'll
be in a fetal position on the ground crying.
Hey, Melissa, we've all made a lot of fun of how awful Eugene's hair is, but I don't get why ladies love what Norman Reedus is doing with his hair. I think it's awful. Is that sexy to you?
It definitely isn't, but I mean, if you go back to, like, the Boondock Saints, he's just an amazing actor, and there's something about just the way he portrays himself. I don't think he's sexy. I think he's kind of dirty.
Yeah.
But I know a lot of people find him attractive.
Yeah, I think it's his confidence. I think it's his confidence level.
And his competence, too. He also is, like, that's the, him or Rick are the two guys you'd want in a zombie apocalypse. They're the ones most likely to save you. Right.
Exactly.
All right, well, I hope you're wrong, because he's one of the great characters. But, you know, that's what The Walking Dead does, is they kill off people that we've fallen in love with. So I guess we'll have to wait. This Sunday night on AMC Season 7 is The Return of The Walking Dead.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes till 7.
New York Giants coming to town versus the Rams this weekend. We'll talk to RJ Bell about that game and so much more as NFL Week 7 action commences. That's coming up from Las Vegas right after the top of the hour. And Ralph Garman is from Universal City this morning. You are there for the K-Rock Vein Drain Blood Drive. It sounds like in the background, Ralph, that they are really moving people through at a pretty good clip. They're giving blood.
They are. They're having people run through the room and they're just hitting them with a razor, just cutting them with a razor as they run through.
That's not right.
And they've got some tarps laid down and they're just collecting the blood off the tarps.
That's not how it works at all.
That's how quickly they're going through.
They're not letting Ralph anywhere near that part of the operation. So
no,
everyone
actually,
knows.
There's a big partition and it's got my picture on the wall. Do not let this man go beyond. It's a very cool event. If you have a chance this morning before you hit work or school, or if you have some time before 1 o'clock today, love to have you come down to Universal Studios Hollywood. We're at the Globe Theater, which is on the 8th level. If you park in the Frankenstein garage, take the elevator up to level 8 and then come on and give some blood, because it's a very cool thing to do. Plus, you can get some tickets just for giving some blood. And I was over there looking at the table where they got all the tickets, and some amazing shows available. You've got the Danny Elfman Halloween show at the Bowl.
Right.
Lots of tickets still available for that. Gwen Stefani, Bad Religion, Panic at the Disco, 21 Pilots. I mean, some really cool shows. So if you want to come down and give some blood, you can get a little something-something for yourself as well.
That's a good deal. And you can get all those details at krock.com. 656, what's going on the showbiz beat?
Speaking of Halloween and scary clowns, you know, the scary clown phenomenon is now worldwide. I don't know if you heard about the scary clown in Cambodia.
I have not.
Yeah, there was a scary clown in Cambodia who was dressed up as a clown and was terrorizing local residents. And people got so fed up, they chased him into the jungle.
But that doesn't help. They let him get away?
Well, not really, because it was there that he took his last fatal misstep when he stepped on a landmine.
Oh!
Clown go boom. The man was 25 years old.
I could not have predicted that ending.
Nope. Yes. He was from the U.S., apparently. He'd moved to the U.S. to go to school, and then he came back to visit relatives, and he thought it would be hilarious to bring the killer clown phenomenon to Cambodia,
dressed up
as a clown, terrorized the locals, and they chased him into the jungle where he stepped on a landmine and blew himself up. So, karma's a bitch.
He kind of deserved it, but it's still so sad.
It is kind of sad. They were scraping clown off the walls everywhere. It was just clown bits. There's confetti everywhere. In television news, this is surprising. Some old favorites are coming back to television. Remember Kelsey Grammer?
Sure.
Remember him as Frasier?
Of course.
He's got a new show that he's developing now. He's coming back playing a veteran who returns home, only to find out he's got so much debt that he's got to move in with his mother.
Oh.
And wackiness ensues.
Okay.
Kelsey Grammer is a veteran from which war, exactly?
Yeah.
From the Korean conflict? And also Carol Burnett, legendary TV comedian Carol Burnett's returning to television on ABC with Amy Poehler. What happened? Did anyone hear that?
That sound was
Allie's excitement.
Allie just held her guinea pig up to the microphone.
It is a sitcom about a family who finds the house of their dreams, and they can only buy it if they let the current owner live there until she dies, who is a cranky old former actress who will be played by Carol Burnett. So it's Amy Poehler and her family living in the same house with Carol Burnett, who plays apparently just a nightmare.
Right?
This sounds like it was ripped out of the headlines of Hugh Hefner staying in the Playboy Mansion for the sale.
I'm guessing that's where they got the idea. They buy the house and they move in, but they have to let the actress live there until she dies. But don't you just kill her at that point, if that's the problem?
I don't think that's
not
how
if it's
most
Carol
people
Burnett.
Would go.
No?
No. All right. Today's celebrity birthdays. Before I get into it, I want to read this email real quickly. I promised this in the last hour. This comes from Jonathan Dowdell from Boulder, Colorado. He is a podcast listener. And he says, sorry in advance that I'm sending this, but I was hoping that you guys could do me a favor. This Friday, the 21st, is my birthday. I request this. Friday, the 21st, is also the birthday of porn star Kim Kardashian. Every year, I hope that Ralph forgets to mention this giant, talentless succubus. But every year I'm let down, and I'm also reminded that I share a birthday with a vapid, self-centered douchebag. Can you please, just this once, not mention her birthday this year? I would appreciate it from the bottom of my heart, Jonathan Dowdell, Boulder, Colorado. So, for the remainder of the show, Jonathan, in honor of your birthday, we will no longer mention she who shall not be named.
Kim Kardashian?
Now, cut Kevin!
Porn star Kim Kardashian.
Just trying to clarify.
The last time we're going to mention her.
Okay.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Carrie Fisher. Princess Leia herself is 60 years old today. And model, actress, Loveline podcast host Amber Rose, who just got booted off Dancing with the Stars. She is 33 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Rachel Bloom joins us later this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, which is back tonight on the CW. Love that show. Also, we'll talk to Petros Papadakis about maybe not the greatest eighth inning the Dodgers have ever played last night. But, you know, we got the weekend ahead, so that's all coming up on K-Rock. First, though, give me our favorite theme song, would you?
Cause he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell.
RJ Bell is the founder of Pregame.com, the exclusive odds provider for the Associated Press, and he joins us every Friday morning at this time live from Las Vegas. Mr. Bell, how are you, sir?
Excellent. Back from 2 days in Albuquerque. So who couldn't be good?
Right? dare I ask, just checking in on your meth business, or what's happening in Albuquerque?
Well, Walter White, and I was at the diner. It's called the Grove Cafe, where he poisoned the lady.
Sweet.
I actually was there.
Spoiler alert.
A picture with some stevia.
That's fantastic. That must be a huge tourist attraction in that town now.
You know,
right?
It's funny. About every fifth person has on a Breaking Bad shirt. So they certainly, you know, I grew up in Ohio and I went to Ohio State, and every third person has a Buckeye jersey. So I guess it's similar.
That's fantastic. All right. You were 1-1-1 last week. We're going to take a look at a few games for week 7 of the NFL. And just start, it's not one of your picks, but just your gut feeling out of the gate on Giants coming to Los Angeles.
The game's in London. And to me, that's the big deal here. is this game being in London. Because if you think about the Rams, I think this is one of the biggest undercover situations of the season that's a disadvantage for the Rams. Now, obviously, they moved from St. Louis. You got your family, you got your kids, new schools, all that. Their practice facilities, they had to move from one to the other to the other. And now this is their seventh, they've played, this is their seventh game, fifth game on the road. That's a big disadvantage to start with.
Yeah.
But last week, the Rams were at Detroit, and they flew directly from Detroit to London. So now, literally, they're going to be away from home like 10 days in a strange country for 10 days. I think we're going to see a very tired Rams team. I think they get beat pretty badly, and I don't think they're to blame. I think this situation is just very difficult to overcome. Not a lot of people talking about it. Big disadvantage for the Rams.
Plus language barrier. So you got that going.
You know, you've got the accent. Yes. I think the subtitles help.
What is your feeling, RJ, on how successful the NFL in London has been? I don't know many fans that get up for those games.
You know, I'm kind of an aficionado of like venture capital and what Silicon Valley does. And
same.
You know, one of the things that they do is they understand you've got to seed the ground. You've got to lay the groundwork if you want to go into a new market. So I think that in 10 or 15 years, we're going to look back and say, wow, how smart was it for them to start to learn the mechanics of all the travel, what's going to be required, how to build a fan base outside the country. Because the NBA, for example, has done better when it comes to making their sport global than the NFL. And if the NFL wants to keep growing, they've got to go global. So I think from a business perspective, these growing pains are a good thing.
All right, fair enough. Let's move on to this week's picks. RJ Bell on the line from pregame.com. We start with your underdog special. You've got Miami hosting Buffalo.
Yeah, I really like this game. I think one of the most overrated teams in the NFL, the Bills. Public perception emphasizes wins and losses. Don't really emphasize who they play or how well they really play. So think about it. The Bills 3 weeks ago, they beat New England. Sounds good, right? But a third-string quarterback in that game. Then they beat the Rams, but the Rams had devastating injuries on the defensive line for that game. Then they beat 49ers, the worst team in the NFL. So the mainstream is talking about a big win streak. But Vegas says this is an average team, the Bills. And this week, they've got their key running back, McCoy, is out with an injury. Now, if you look at Miami, their record, it's not good, but they've had...
That was so sweet.
It's not good.
Chevy Chase, all right? You're not good. But but here's the thing. They've been injured on the offensive line the entire season in a way that really was difficult to overcome. Last week was the first healthy week for them on the offensive line, Miami. They dominated a very good Pittsburgh team. This line, if it were on a neutral field, plus +3 for Miami would be fair. So the pick we're getting, all of the home field edge is our edge. It's the underdog special, Miami.
How about that, Chip? You feel good about that? You like it?
Sure.
Chip is our Dolphins fan.
She'll take it.
All right, your best bet is Tennessee, who's just terrible this year, right? -3 hosting Indianapolis.
No, not terrible. They've won two straight. They've won two straight games. And they've played pretty well. But to me, this is more anti-Colts. Andrew Luck is a different, lesser quarterback on the road. In his career, home, 24-9. That's really good, right?
Mm-hmm.
On the road, 16-18. So literally below average, below .500 on the road. And we've got another tired team with the Colts. 3 weeks ago, they were in London. All right. The next week, they were the first team in NFL history not to take a bye after London. They said, no, we want our bye or off week later. So they played a home game. Then they played at Houston last week on Sunday Night Football. Big game, TV lights, all that. Now they're on the road again. So imagine that. London, back home, one game, road, and then road again. No bye. Very tired. And Tennessee likes to play physical, and they really like to run the ball. If you're a tired team and the other team is physical, that's a problem. 2 weeks ago, Tennessee had 10 consecutive runs against the Dolphins. You don't see that in the NFL anymore. Last week, they ran the ball 56% of the time. So I expect a physical game from Tennessee. And by the way, the Colts, number 28 against the run. We're going to go with our best bet, Tennessee -3.
And we'll wrap it up this week with the big game special. This is the NFC West battle between Kevin's Arizona Cardinals and my Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, so here's what I'm going to say. Arizona is our big game special.
Right.
I'm going to be a little negative about Seattle, so you might want to cover your ears here.
But we pay off the refs, so we're good.
Bring it on, RJ.
So Arizona is one of only five teams that Vegas considers to have a superior home field advantage. So Seattle is actually one of them on the other side. And people don't talk about Arizona as much. You don't hear them as a great home field team, but it's very loud in that stadium, especially when the fans are excited for Arizona, and that helps the pass rush. The only way you can really win on the road against a good team in the NFL is if you run the ball effectively, because it slows down that pass rush. Seattle, they entered the season with not one offensive lineman starter returning to the same position. Every starter was changed, either changed position or a different person. And you know what the result has been? Seattle is number 30 of 32 running the ball. And Seattle generally struggles away from home. Last dozen years against the spread at home, 31 games above 500. That's amazing. On the road, 14 games below 500. And if you look at this year, good record so far for Seattle. First four games, though, against below-average teams in the eyes of Vegas. And they got lucky last week to win against Atlanta at home. So with our big game special, we've got pretty much equal teams, Arizona and Seattle, laying less than a field goal with the home team. And this is a home away that really matters with these two teams. Big game special, Arizona minus two.
I'm afraid we're not able to be friends anymore.
Hey, listen, I have to tell the facts.
Right.
All right. Underdog special, Miami plus three hosting Buffalo. Best bet is Tennessee minus three hosting Indianapolis. And the big game special, Arizona minus two hosting Seattle. You can find information about these games and so much more in the wonderful world of sports at pregame.com. Our friend RJ Bell, you can follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. Thank you, sir. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
If you haven't heard, by the way, we're having a K-Rock Halloween ball. It's going to be next Friday night, 1 week from tonight at the Fonda Theater. A little musical act known as the Red Hot Chili Peppers are going to be performing live. And we're going to be giving away some tickets in about 30 minutes or so right here on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. Get all the details at K-Rock.com.
So Snoopy has been on the MetLife blimp for how long?
Well, the MetLife Insurance Company worked a deal out with the Peanuts crew about 31 years ago. And they have been, as you point out, they've been on the blimps, and you see their big balloons in the Thanksgiving Day Parade at Macy's, New York every year. And that's kind of been the face of the company. But they are no longer going to be doing domestic retail life insurance. They're just focusing on corporate clients. So they fired all the Peanuts group.
No.
No more Peanuts. No more Charlie Brown. No more Snoopy. No more Linus. No more Lucy.
Oh.
So a lot of people are very disappointed because, you know, it's one of those associations that's gone on for a long time. When you see Peanuts, you think MetLife.
Yeah.
A lot of people are disappointed, would you say, B?
I know I am.
I am, too.
Thank you, Allie. I'm very sad. So we wanted to find out. I mean, it must be a major decision when you've got something that, you know, I think, in my mind, it's been very successful. It's worked for them. But, you know, you decide to cut the cord on that. I mean, what's that like for the people running the company? So we asked Dave, who could we talk to? We have the advertising director for MetLife Incorporated on the line. This could be Mr. Clark Owens, who joins us on K-Rock. Hi, Mr. Owens. Thanks so much for coming on.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure, sir. A lot of people were, I think, disappointed, if social media chatter was to be believed, at the decision that your company made to cut loose the Peanuts gang. What can you tell us about it?
Yes, it does seem like some people have been disappointed, but frankly, we've been with Snoopy and the whole gang for over 30 years, and frankly, this has been a long time coming. It's just time to cut ties with these people. They're a nightmare to work with, quite frankly.
Wait, what?
The Peanuts crew is?
Oh, they're the worst. First of all, Snoopy... the goddamn dog can't even talk. I mean, really, what kind of spokesperson is that, really?
Right.
He just goes around with a bowl in his mouth, always asking for food. I think he's got some sort of eating disorder, quite frankly.
Okay.
And then he goes, ah, makes that noise. It's really annoying. And we think maybe something might be mentally wrong with the dog. He also seems to believe he is a pilot.
Yeah.
Quite often.
Well,
yeah. And we've asked him to get help, to get some sort of treatment, some sort of counseling, and he simply refuses. So... really, for due cause, we're able to let him go, as well as his bunch of little friends.
All of his friends as well, though, huh?
Oh, absolutely. First of all, you have no idea what it's like to put up with that goddamn piano music of Schroeder's all day and night in the office. Sitting there, we're trying to work, and like, blah, 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 he's playing the freaking piano. It's just,
well, he loves his Beethoven. You know that.
Oh, it's a nightmare. How many for 30 years we've been listening to Beethoven? And Lucy, she's a bitch.
Yeah, right? She's not nice. Yeah,
oh,
I get it.
I can't tell you how many goddamn times I've been in the hallway and she's holding a football and I think she wants me to kick it.
Right.
And then I go to kick it, and you know what she does?
What?
She pulls the football away from me.
Oh, that's crazy.
What?
But just once, and you learn your lesson.
Well, you think I would, but it's been 31 years now, and I keep falling on my ass. And frankly, I'm just fed up with it.
Well, that's understandable. So, in other words, it seems like fun on the other side of the TV because we only see it 30 seconds at a time. But in real life, it's not fun.
Oh, and there's no diversity either. We're trying to be a diverse company, and they got one black kid, Franklin, and you rarely see him.
Yeah.
Once in a while he shows up. I don't think they even talk to him. I think there's some sort of racist thing going on.
Oh, that's come on.
It's really unfortunate. And Charlie Brown, he's manic depressive. He's awful to be around. And frankly, also, there's some issues with sexual harassment on his part.
What Charlie? Are you talking about? He seems like such a sweet little kid.
We have a little red-haired girl who works in the office, and he just won't leave her alone.
Uh-oh.
He's stalking her and sending her Valentine's and stuff all year long, by the way, not just February.
Oh, that's all right. Wow.
And she's made several complaints, and he's got no hair. It's just weird for a child of that age to have no hair, just that one sort of pubic hair that hangs off the top of his head. It's disturbing to look at.
He's not living his best life.
It's not lying. It's even more disturbing.
What's wrong with Linus?
Well, sometimes he'll sit at his cubicle there in the office, and he's got the blanket,
mm-hmm.
and then he puts the blanket over his lap.
Oh, no.
And reaches under the blanket.
No,
the blanket.
No.
That's not happening.
Oh,
no.
We have no idea what's going on down there, but it's a weird little tent situation. frankly, we just had to let him go. So I say good riddance, but they were never funny, right? We can all agree with that.
Oh, I mean, I don't agree.
I've never found them funny.
I can't wait till they're all dead.
Oh, come on. Hey, if you're waking up this Friday morning, you got a little extra time, you want to do something nice for somebody, why not swing on by the K-Rock Vein Drain Blood Drive going on today at Universal Studios Hollywood till 1 p.m. You can get all the details at krock.com. Go by, give some blood. There's free parking in the Frankenstein parking lot, and they're giving away Chili Peppers tickets and 21 Pilots and Danny Elfman's Halloween Show, Festival Supreme, Panic at the Disco, so much more. Again, you can get those details at krock.com.
You can call us anytime, 24 hours a day. It's Kevin and Bean Afroline, 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day. We talked to Dr. Drew about Muggs and Muggs's hate for that prostate exam.
Yeah.
And it goes beyond hate. He's so paralyzed with fear about that digital rectum exam that he refuses, he says he'll never allow that test to happen. He'd rather die of prostate cancer.
Beer Muggs was talking to Dr. Drew about his prostate exam and how uncomfortable he was going to be. How about that poor doctor that actually has to stick his finger in that box of yours? Let's talk to that poor doctor. Can we please talk to that poor gentleman?
That's a great point. It's however bad it is for Muggs, it's so much worse for the person on the other end of that finger.
The other end of that finger.
That's so troubling.
If Kevin and Bean were monkeys, Kevin would be the monkey throwing poop. Bean would be the monkey who throws his semen at chicks. Am I right?
Come on.
Wow.
That was uncalled for.
Yeah,
I mean, she's
right.
Not wrong.
But
right. Wow.
Yeah.
It's time for Dodger baseball. Come on, Mama Mug. We need your negativity so they can win. Let's go. Dodgers!
It's possible that that's been the problem is we haven't had Mama Mugs on.
See, I can't tell if she's...
If she helps or hinders?
If she helps or hinders.
Yeah.
Because the games that they've won, we didn't talk to her.
Yeah. But, I mean, she had so much disdain for the team, and then they went on an unbelievable tear after the All-Star break. She never thought they'd make the playoffs, and they did. She never thought they'd get past the Nationals, and they did. So I'm sure she's out there right now thinking they can't beat Chicago, so maybe we need her on so that it happens.
People are starting to call with questions about my intelligence. Please.
Incongruous. Really? Who are you, Kevin? Guys, really? Where's real Kevin Ryder? Where is he? What'd you guys do with the real Kevin Ryder? Where is he? I want real... Kevin really wants the real Ryder Kevin back right now.
I do feel like he's been swapped out with some sort of super smart artificial intelligence robot.
Halloween spooks outside your studio. Halloween spooks
inside his brain. I wish that you all could see that Kevin has the answers for everything.
Right?
And that's Howling Peaks possessing Kevin's brain. Is this the end of time?
How dare you?
I think it is, yeah.
How dare you? How did we get on the topic of trying to do the sax part in Careless Whisper by Wham with our mouths?
It was, we were talking about the Green Day show on Monday, and Jason Fries, their saxophone player, started playing Careless Whisper.
That's right. Okay, so that's what this call is. I feel like that was good.
I think it was better than Beans and Mine.
That's tough. It's tough to do.
That is tough.
Yeah.
We were doing jokes associated with Halloween, and we got a few of those.
What room do ghosts not need? Anyone? Anyone? A living room!
See, because...
Well,
why are ghosts so bad at lying? Because you can see right through them.
We made the mistake of taking some ghost jokes one day to give away some prizes, and they won't stop coming in.
What do you get when you cross a witch and sand? A sandwich! Can I get tickets now?
No, you don't, sir, but thank you for the call.
You got me wrapped around your finger. Do you have to let it? Lady Gaga!
Yeah. that changed the Cranberries right around.
I'm not positive why Allie said it that way.
It was
a guessing game about
it was
hit the halftime.
It was a guessing game, and we were so bad at it. And finally, I got the answer, and I was super excited.
Maybe a little too.
Lady Gaga! You make me feel like a Nancy. Lady Gaga!
You know, the new Lady Gaga album comes out today, so every time I see the words Lady and Gaga, I'm going to have Allie in my head. I can't read that anymore without thinking of the way she does it.
I apologize.
It's rough.
Yeah.
Here's a little song for you for Halloween.
It's pumpkin pie. Put in some pie crust. Don't add any rust. Add in the pumpkin spice. Oh boy, that's nice. It's pumpkin pie.
Nice. Okay.
What's going on down there, Ralph? Who's yelling 198?
Is there an auction happening?
Why is 198 not paying attention? All right. And finally.
Look, Kevin, quit being a dick. I want to hear Halloween Spooks, and you keep interrupting it with your stupid-ass noises. I even went to Spotify and download the song, so I listen to it whenever I want.
All right, so my question is, go ahead and listen to it that way. Oh,
but it's not so the same. Angry.
Although that's not a question, is it?
It's really not at all.
It's not the same as hearing it on the radio as part of the fun of the Kevin and Bean Show. Kevin, come on, let's do it for do it for him. Let's do it for the kids. Let's do it for America.
And not hear your BS on top of it.
I can't play my sound effects.
Halloween, Halloween, ooh, Halloween. Ghostly things are gonna happen.
Let him enjoy it as is.
Ooh, ah,
it's already perfect.
Halloween spooks outside my window.
Not here.
No.
Halloween spooks behind the tree. I wish that the children could see, but I can't find them for the life of me. And there's Halloween spooks outside my window pane.
This whole part too, though, really?
Give him a little bit, sure.
See, they're spooky, scary ghosts.
Why do some people tune out?
It's all part of the Halloween experience.
That's your favorite part. I know, you love that one.
Seriously. Me yelling over this is the only thing that makes it listenable.
Hold on, it's a big finish. Wait for the big finish. This is a party.
Yeah, it's a party. That's what this is. This is a party.
This listener got what his what he asked for.
Okay, we get it. Halloween spooks outside my window.
Halloween spooks behind the tree. I wish that the children could see, but I can't find them for the life of me. And there's Halloween spooks outside my window.
Y'all are killing it right now.
Yeah. 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:53.
Ralph Garman is at Universal Studios for the K-Rock Vein Drain Blood Drive. Ralph, we heard from one of your fans. She's a member of the Garmy named Marie. Stopped by this morning, saved some lives, got myself some Horror Nights tickets. Hashtag save a life at K-Rock. How about
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely. It's so easy to do. You can save a life just by coming down here and picking up concert tickets. And then, yes, they have to take some of your blood, but really, you barely even notice.
So it's going on until 1 o'clock today. Where do people park? How easy is it to find you guys?
It's the best thing to do is go to the Frankenstein Garage, which is at the top of the hill if you enter in off of Lancashire. You can park there for free, and then you take the elevator up to the 8th level. We're right here at the Globe Theater, which is near the Minions Mayhem ride. And just come on in, and there's a bit of a line, but and the room is packed, but I'm sure they'll fit you in, and we'll try to get you in and out as soon as possible so you can get on to work or school or wherever you're headed. But we're here till 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm not. I'll be leaving after the show, but the folks will be taking blood here till 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So if you possibly can, come on down and get some tickets for yourself. It's first come, first serve, so some of the tickets are already gone, but we still have plenty left for Danny Elfman's Halloween gig at the Bowl, Festival Supreme, Panic at the Disco, Bad Religion, Stan Lee's L.A. Comic-Con next weekend, and more. So come on down, give some blood.
It's an awesome event, and thanks to everybody who has already swung by and given their blood. We really appreciate it. We'll tell you how you can win your tickets to see the Red Hot Chili Peppers at the K-Rock Halloween Ball next Friday night, coming up in minutes. First, though, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat. What's new?
Now, speaking of the Stan Lee Los Angeles Comic-Con, which is next weekend, do want to remind folks, if you want to come out on Saturday, you can see me and Kevin Smith. We're going to be moderating a panel featuring the cast of the original Batman show, Batman's himself, Adam West, and Burt Ward. Lee Merriweather and Julie Newmar, Kevin and I will be there on Saturday talking about the new animated Batman movie that is just getting great reviews, by the way. It's so much fun. It's awesome. And then later that night, Saturday night at the Improv on Melrose, Kevin Smith and I are doing our Hollywood Babylon show, our special Halloween Hollywood Babylon, Hollywood Boobalon, as we like to call it.
See?
And we're giving prizes to other people who come out in costume for that, so you can go to improv.com if you want to get tickets for that. Speaking of Halloween and costumes, you can tell what is hot in media by looking at what the kids dress up as Halloween. They've just released the top 10 list of best-selling children's costumes this year. We did pets costumes earlier in the show, but the kids are dressing up this year at number 10, Spider-Man. Spidey's dropped to 10.
Wow.
Oh, he's such a loser, right? Number 9, Zombie, of course, with the success and mania around Walking and Fear the Walking Dead. Zombie at number 9. Any Marvel superhero except for Spider-Man comes in at number 8. So I'm guessing that means Wolverine and Deadpool and Doctor Strange, I'm sure, will be big next year. The characters of Frozen are at number 7. At number 6, it's any DC superhero that's not Superman or Batman. And a witch, Star Wars character, still very popular. Number 5, any character from the Batman franchise is number 4. And then Animal at 3.
The drummer?
Cat, dog, lion, monkey.
Yeah, the drummer.
Oh.
Yeah, not the drummer from the Muppets. Princess at number 2. Glad to see Princess is still popular with the girls. Right?
It's a realistic thing to dream for.
Bean can make anything bad.
You can poop on any joy.
How is that possible?
You're the joy pooper.
I'm just saying, little girls, that's what you should aspire to, is marry royalty. I think there's a likelihood of that
Bean
happening.
Bean poops on joy.
Hey, wait, you know what? You're not likely to be Spider-Man either, asshole, but you can dress up and have a good time and pretend.
All right.
And then number 1 is every other superhero in the world. It just so that's what the kids will be showing up at your door as this year. Speaking of little kids, remember JoJo? JoJo was 14 years old back in 2004, and she had a smash hit with a song called Leave, Get Out. Does that ring a bell?
Yeah.
Too late now, I can't wait for you to be gone, 'cause I know about her.
Hell yeah.
She did an interview with People Magazine and talked about the downside of having such success at such an early age. She said she suffered from depression, she told People Magazine, who asked, where are they now? She said, because no one ever asks where she is now. That's why she's depressed. No, she had her boyfriend cheat on her. Her father passed away, and then she got addicted to alcohol.
Oh, my God.
She's just 25 years old, and she's been through all that already. So she's on the comeback trail, says she still would like to sing, but right now she's kind of working out her issues. So if you ever wondered what happened to JoJo, now you have your answer.
Oh, wow.
Hey, kid,
it's not funny.
It's funny to you, Rodney.
Kid star who did better than JoJo is Joe Jonas.
Yeah.
Although he says he wasn't as squeaky clean as he and his brothers pretended to be back in the day.
Couldn't have been, could they?
The 27-year-old now reveals that he used to log on to pornographic websites using his real address when he was a teenager.
Oh.
And his father, who is a pastor, by the way, was shocked to find postcards coming to the house addressed to Joe featuring naked women on them.
Like little pen pals.
I don't know what kind of website you were going to.
Yeah, what is
that? They would send you a postcard.
Who sends postcards?
Miss you. You haven't logged on in a while. Where have you been? Wish you were here. Signed, my vagina.
Hey, those Jonas Brothers assholes.
Yeah. So even though they wore those purity rings back in the day, apparently they were little horn dogs.
That's
who were getting postcards from porn stars.
Yeah, that's a tough conversation to have with your minister father.
It is indeed. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Carrie Fisher, Princess Leia herself, is 60 years old today, and model, actress, personality, Loveline podcast host, Amber Rose from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, by the way. Don't they grow them right in Philadelphia? Huh? Who's with me? Okay. That's what I thought. Hey, by the way, Chip, I appreciate you not giving me a hard time about last night's hockey game.
Hey, no problem. It's early in the season, so yeah. But Ducks still won.
Yeah,
and they've won, what, 9 out of the last 10 against him?
Maybe.
Okay.
Ducks, yeah. Wow.
I'm not gonna pile on, but they have won 9 of the last 10 games against the Flyers.
Wow. Yeah.
That is the definition of piling on.
It really is, yeah.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You know, I feel like we should just start with an apology. Just let people know what's coming, right? Look. One person is going to walk away in 5 minutes very happy. The rest of us will be poorer for having heard what's about to happen. But we're giving away tickets to the K-Rock Halloween Ball, which is going to be next Friday night at the Fonda Theater. The Red Hot Chili Peppers.
We're giving it away, giving away, giving away now.
Not yet. The Red Hot Chili Peppers are your musical entertainment. Look, there are a lot of Halloween parties going on in Southern California. That's the only one that has the freaking Red Hot Chili Peppers playing for you, right?
It's going to be a good night.
Costume contest, you can walk away with $5,000. Also, we're giving away a 65-inch 4K TCL Smart TV. 21 and up, please. If you want to go to this and you're a fan of the Chili Peppers, 1-800-520-1067. Unfortunately, we're playing Omaroki.
Yeah. Sorry about what you're about to hear.
Omaroki as a singer, Omar's really lame. So we wish you luck, because he sucks. If you guess, you win the game.
Now, Omar, you know, God bless him, has been working on the show for a long time, but we try to keep him behind the scenes so he's not on mic very often. You're still doing the DJOmarKhan.com business as well, O?
I am, yeah. And if you have a wedding, bar mitzvah, baby shower, birthday party, whatever it is, anniversary party, you could hit me up at DJOmarKhan.com or you could just email me directly at Omar@KROQ.com.
And I'll tell you something about Omar is he's a great DJ. I guarantee he'll do a great job for your party. Do not let him sing, though, when he gets there. That's
right.
The thing. Just
but
make sure he doesn't
to,
sing.
I could rock that mic right.
If they want you to.
All right. So, Omar, you're going to be singing songs by the Red Hot Chili Peppers. All the listener on the phone has to do is identify it by title. If they're right, they go into the drawing. Somebody wins tickets to the K-Rock Halloween Ball. You ready?
All right. Let's start with Jose in Northridge. Hi, Jose.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you guys?
We are good. Thank you.
You guys ready?
I don't know.
Here we go.
Sweetheart is bleeding in the snow cone. So smart, she's leading in the ozone. Music, the great communicator. Used through ticks to make it into nature.
What do you think there, Jose?
I want to say... Can't Stop?
Correct.
Yes. Wow.
Sweetheart is bleeding in the snow cone.
Wow, that was nothing like what Omar did.
You hear how Anthony sings and how different that is from what you're
doing?
I know,
mine is so much better.
I don't
think that's
Bean.
What we're saying.
I really
Chuck,
appreciate that compliment. Chuck in Chatsworth is next. Hi, Chuck.
Good morning, party people. What's happening?
We are giving away tickets to the K-Rock Halloween Costume Ball next Friday night with Omaroki. Name this song.
Ba Bob Marley bowing in a prophet. Bob Marley taught me how to off it. Bob Marley walking like he talking. Goodness, can't you see I'm going to cough it?
Come on.
Oh, brother. No, that's not it. Let's see. Californication.
Sorry, let's give it away.
I have heard that song a million times. Had no idea those were the lyrics.
Well, we're not big lyric people, you and right. I, unfortunately. Kenneth and Downey, hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you. You ready?
Yep. All right.
Black bandana, sweet Louisiana, robbing on a bank in the state of Indiana. She's a runner, rebel, and a stunner, on a merry way to say what you gonna. Looking down at a barrel of a sweet metal 45.
Okay.
Just another way to survive.
Right. Thank you, all. Thank you.
Okay. Kenneth, please, put us out of our misery. What song is that?
Danny, California.
Yes, it is.
Black bandana, sweet Louisiana.
Oh, so much
I feel
fun.
Like
I
never you, thought, you nailed that one.
Never thought I'd be so happy to hear the Red Hot Chili Peppers, but when
that
they start singing,
sweet.
it takes whatever Omar's doing out of my head.
Let's go to Sarah in Anaheim. Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You're playing for tickets for the K-Rock Halloween Costume Ball next Friday with Red Hot Chili Peppers. Here is Omar.
How long will I slide? Separate my side. I don't believe it's bad.
Okay, that's fine. That's plenty.
Slit my throat.
Tell us you know it, Sarah. Sarah?
Oh my gosh, hi, I'm there. Is it...
Take a guess if you don't know.
Is it, by the way?
No, it's Other Side.
How long?
Start singing with
hitting
the song.
Those notes like crazy.
Yeah.
Omar, be honest with me and admit, you've never heard that song before.
Heard it
right?
Like a billion times, and when I just sung it, it was the best time I've ever heard it.
I don't think anyone agrees
I
with
have
you.
The best songs, the best voice.
Right. Let's go to Alina in Pasadena, is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You ready to identify your Red Hot Chili Pepper song?
Sure.
Good luck.
I drive on the streets cause she's my companion. I walk through the hills cause she knows who I am. She sees my good deeds and she kisses me when
this is the creepiest thing I've ever heard in my life.
I never worry.
Okay, that's thank you, Omar. That's
now
fine.
That is
thank
a
you,
lie.
Omar. Alina, please. What song?
Such a creep.
Sort of got a boner.
Under the Bridge.
Okay. One more, please. One more for Omar.
All right.
We can take one more bean, you think?
One more, yes.
All right. Alfredo.
I'm going to give you guys all boners now with the next one.
All right. Alfredo, are you ready?
Hey, Omar, you've been spot on, man.
Thank you very much.
Take
it
easy.
Flattery will get you nowhere. All
right. Here's Omar.
Push me up against the wall. Young Kentucky girl in a push-up bra. Falling...
I'm all over myself to lift your heart and taste your hell, cuz with the scar tissue.
Nice.
Push me up against the wall.
That's
by
how
the way,
good I am.
Not only got it right, but cut off Omar and started singing himself.
The right thing.
By the way, the right who's thing. In for Alfredo Oki next time we play this game?
That's like
a lot
it.
Better.
I like
you can hire him at DJ Omar Khan for all your parties or Omar at KRock.com. But he just gave you tickets for the Red Hot Chili Peppers at the KRock Halloween Ball next Friday night. Everybody's in the drawing. Who's our winner, Allie?
The winner is Alfredo.
Alfredo.
Oh. Awesome.
Alfredo, congratulations.
All right.
Okay. Thanks for playing the game.
Oh, Maroki, that's our game, and how much fun we had. Now you know that I didn't lie when I told you he was pretty bad.
It's time for Dodger Baseball.
Not today. Today's a travel day, and then the series picks up in Chicago. Cubs are up 3-2. This is not what we were hoping for. But you know what? They lost a couple of nights ago by 8 runs. Last night, they only lost by 4. So I feel like that's moving in the right direction, right?
I mean, sure.
I mean, technically. Our friend Petro is on the line from the Petro's Money Radio Show, AM 570, the Dodger Station. P, you're in Kansas today. Is that right?
I'm in Kansas this morning. I'm in a hotel room in Kansas with no windows.
Good times.
Oh, all right.
That sounds like prison.
Yeah, no, I thought it was nighttime. It turned out 10:26 a.m. Central Time.
All right, you're living the dream.
No,
well,
I'm
listen,
feeling great about myself.
There's a lot of ground to cover, but I have to ask just the bigger question before we get to any specifics about last night's game. 4 hours and 16 minutes for that game last night? What are we doing? What's happening?
Well, this is modern playoff baseball, and you have people that think it's so cool, and they're celebrating it and saying, isn't it awesome that we use 400 pitchers and take a four-minute commercial every time we change them out? Isn't it great? And then they have a couple reviews, and everybody's got to look at that 100 times, and they go back to New York and look at it, and this is playoff baseball. I'm shocked.
Why is this so much?
If a game goes under 4 hours, it's shocking.
Why is this so much different than the regular season? Why is it longer?
Well, because they're using more pitchers. You know, in baseball, if your pitcher, your starter, or whatever reliever you put in there starts to waver a little bit, they give them the quick cane. You know, like the cane they gave to old Steve Sarkisian when he started swearing at that at that USC event. That,
right.
That Donald Duck cane just comes off the stage and just yanks you off like a cartoon. Well, that happens a lot quicker in the world of baseball during the playoffs. A lot of the time, these relievers come in. And they only pitch to one guy,
right?
Whether they're successful or not.
Yeah, and no bueno. So what went so horribly wrong last night? Obviously, you know, the Cubs have great pitching. They're the best team in baseball. That's how they got there. But what else was the problem with the Dodgers, and how can they turn it around for this weekend?
Well, the problem with the Dodgers is basically they have a really, really hard time hitting when a guy pitches it out of a certain hand. Does that mean?
What? Yes. Sounds like you're talking about lefties.
You mean like left-hand pitchers?
Yeah.
They have a very I'm dyslexic, so. they have a really hard time with the lefties. And unless it's Kershaw or Kenta Maeda, and Rich Hill's put together a little bit of a good, well, the most recent start was good. Unless it's those guys, the Dodgers are in trouble. Mm-hmm. And I think there was a lot of cockiness. You know, we had a lot of people talking about, you know, this was a commanding lead and, you know, it's all over. And people are still feeling like, well, Kershaw's going to pitch game six and there's no way they're going to lose that. You know, these predictions and the way we're going about this is hilarious because, you know, anything can happen in these games. They're 4 hours long. You know, the ball can bounce off somebody's face and everybody's heartbroken. It really is long and excruciating and arduous. And if you enjoy that kind of thing, then welcome to Dodger playoff baseball.
It sounds very positive.
It sounds like I'm reviewing it.
Now, is this something to hope for, Petros, or as a guy who's a fan of the integrity of the game, do we not want this to happen? But isn't it possible, now that the series is going back to Wrigley Field, that some boneheaded Cubs fan is going to somehow interfere with the play and screw it up for the team again this year?
Well, you're referring to the Steve Bartman,
yes.
I believe, situation. And no, that's probably not going to repeat itself again, but that is a real thing, you know, and it has been discussed a lot by people that were there in Wrigley Field the first time around when the Dodgers started having a little bit of success in Game 2. Those people don't know how to react. Like, they expect, it's kind of like me walking around, they expect something horrible to happen.
Right. Right.
And they get quiet. They're not a confident crowd because they're basically a self-loathing bunch of losers. I mean, look, that's what the Cubs are. For all their charm and all their greatness and the great history involved in this playoff series between two of the three oldest stadiums in baseball, you got Fenway and then, of course, Wrigley and Dodger Stadium, and two of them are active here in the NLCS, and it's awesome. And it's great to see those two teams on the field together. But the truth is the Cubs are a defeatist organization. And I mean, is there really a Greek Orthodox curse on them? Well, I'm based in antiquity and I believe there is, but it's not really that. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy of doom that, you know, nothing can go right for them and they don't expect it.
Because of that, is it more important that the Dodgers jump out to an early lead?
Well, yeah, it's always more important to insert, you know, everybody wants to start fast. You know, I mean, even in these football games, they say keys to the game, and I go, hey, you got to start fast.
Right.
Well, of course, you don't want to come out and get kicked in the balls, you know. I mean, of course, you want to come out. You want to win the game, so you want to come out and start winning right away. But the truth is, Clayton Kershaw is going to pitch game six. Clayton Kershaw is the best pitcher in baseball. Clayton Kershaw seems to be over his playoff woes of the past. Now, that could all come back again very quickly and wash away all the positive, but you like Clayton Kershaw's ability to pitch and win game six, which means you're looking at a game seven which a guy who's been up and down for the Dodgers, who was in like the independent leagues a couple years ago and has had this weird rise back to prominence, Rich Hill, he's going to be on the mound. And there's going to be, if there's a game seven, and there's going to be a quick hook for him, and then it'll end up being a bullpen game. And yeah. That's kind of what happens if Kershaw's not pitching for the Dodgers. It's a bullpen game. And you can see those get out of the barn really fast, get out of control, and suddenly you're down 10 runs, and you know what the hell happened. So who knows? But I would expect it, because Kershaw going tomorrow, I would expect it to go seven games, and a game seven in Wrigley Field between the Dodgers and the Cubs to go to the World Series, I mean, the world's going to stop to watch that thing, and every pitch, every moment, every ball and strike is going to be scrutinized, and everybody's going to freak out and have some excuse as to why they won or lost.
It's definitely intense to play so hard for so long, all season long, and then to get down
to it. It's like being awake during a surgery.
That's the best way to describe it I think I've ever heard. All right, so you're going to be on from wherever you land this afternoon. You guys are still doing the show from 3 to 7 on the radio, right?
Oh, yeah, we're going. I'm in Lawrence, Kansas, by the way.
All right. Have a great time, Pete.
Thanks.
Thanks for jumping
was
on.
Was positive enough?
That was fine.
Yeah. Okay. Go Doyers.
Go Doyers. The last time we talked to our next guest, I think, was the morning after she had won the Golden Globe for her TV show Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. If I remember correctly, she was still in her gown when we talked to her. And now the show is back tonight, Season 2 on the CW at 9 o'clock, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. Please welcome Rachel Bloom back to the Kevin Beecher. Hey, Rachel!
Hi!
How you doing?
I'm great. I'm so excited to be back.
Well, we're delighted to have you. So you're on Fridays now. Did you get superhero squeezed by the CW off of Mondays? And how do you feel about it?
Well, 100%. Supergirl came in on Mondays. I actually feel like it's great for us because we're not like the highest rated show. We're actually the lowest rated show on network television. So we're not there really for ratings, and being there on Friday puts less ratings pressure on us and just allows us to be there and do our thing.
You're so not really the lowest rated, though, are you?
On broadcast network television?
Really?
I think we are.
That
yeah.
is That's shocking absurd. To me. That is absurd.
Well, we gotta go, Rachel, so...
okay, cool. I have a business where I make necklaces on the side.
Okay, good. At least you got a backup.
That's weird to me.
So here's the thing. We always hear...
We've gotten more popular because of Netflix, so we'll see tonight if improved.
Look, we always, you always hear about shows that people love that end up being canceled and it breaks everybody's hearts. And I understand that networks are, they're running a business like anybody else. If they don't have enough customers through the door, they can't keep it going. So you must have people within the CW who are just recognizing the quality and the passion of your audience who are saying, hey, we believe in you. We want to stick with it. That has to feel great.
Oh, it's amazing. The CW has recognized that from the beginning. I mean, they've had faith in us from the beginning. And, we just got 2 Emmy Awards, the Golden Globe, the critical praise does not go unnoticed there at all. So I'm actually personally not worried. I feel great about what we're doing, and I feel great about the season.
Great. Now, the clip that has been going around a lot this week that everybody's sharing that's so awesome is you and your take on Beyonce's Lemonade, and it's a uh-huh. brilliant clip. Now, we'll see. That's on the show tonight, right? That's part of tonight's premiere, right?
It is indeed.
Okay. You're at one point dressed up like a cactus in the middle of the desert. And when I saw that, I thought, I've seen you do a lot of, wacky stuff on this show. What goes through your mind in those scenarios? Do you, stop and go, how did my life end up being this person dressed like a cactus in the desert?
It's pretty great when that happens because it's just very, it's very surreal. I mean, it's the definition of a dream, right? Where it's like, I dreamt that I was dressed as a cactus, but I was also in a film shoot. Like, the whole thing sounds like a weird dream that no one would care about hearing. But, I mean, with that music video, we've never done something like that before, which is what a lot of music videos are like nowadays, which is these trippy, artsy short films that have almost nothing to do with the song.
Usually nothing.
And in our case, what we did was we took the metaphor of the visuals and we put it actually into the content of the song, so it makes a little more sense and the comedy tracks a little more. But we'd never done something kind of artsy and ambitious like that, just because it's every one of them is so different.
Yeah.
And they're almost their own genre of music video. But it was really, really fun to do, and I'm super proud of it.
Oh, you should be. But you've been joking, I hope joking, in interviews that you shot the entire budget for the season on this one video. So now what, everything else is just going to be puppets?
Yeah, I mean, you'd be surprised how true that statement is.
Oh, no.
We're back. We're okay. We got back. But yeah, I mean, it was a really ambitious video. I mean, we went up to the desert for a day to shoot. We built a bunch of sets. It's, I mean, Beyonce is spending a lot of money.
That's a takeaway.
Let's play a clip from the song. This is the one that we're talking about, the Lemonade kind of spoof a little bit. And your character, your character Rebecca. Why don't you set it up? Kind of the gist of the song is that pretty much she's so desperate for love that she feels like she'll take anything from a man as a positive, right?
Sure, it's that common feeling that you get when you're kind of so in love with someone and they're not giving it to you back. You look for any kernel of maybe them loving you back, any kernel of desperation, and hence this song.
Here's a clip of Love Kernels. You'll love it.
I know when you say,
I want to go to Colorado sometime.
It means you're thinking about the future with me. I know a 3 a.m. text means I was in your dreams before you woke up to pee.
It's a 3 a.m. subtext.
And I know you care when you say, I'm going to a movie tonight. My friend bailed, wanna come? It means I'm the most important person in his life, next to his friend.
Oh, but he's been his friend since he was like 5, so that's saying a lot.
That's part of the reason why people who watch and love Crazy Ex-Girlfriend insist that their friends do too. And you should tonight. Season 2 premiering at 9 o'clock on the CW. Don't miss it. Rachel, we always love having you on the show. We're very excited that you're back on the TV. We'll talk soon, okay?
Thank you. Talk soon.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:52.
Today's the day of the annual K-Rock Vein Drain Blood Drive going on at Universal Studios Hollywood. Our man Ralph Garman is down there. How many years in a row we've been doing this, Ralph? A long time, right?
I was talking to the folks here at Cedars-Sinai, and they said 8 years, I think.
That's fantastic. Well, that
we did
is a
couple
lot.
at the Queen Mary down in Long Beach.
Right.
And then for years it's been here at Universal Studios, and they're so nice here, and they take such good care of us, and it's so awesome. And, Bean, it was great of you to drop by this morning, too. Great to see you. You weren't talkative, but it was nice
what?
To you.
I'm not sure what you're referring to.
You didn't stop by a couple minutes ago?
What? No, I'm not there. No, I'm not in town.
Oh,
sorry.
Oh, I'm so embarrassed.
What happened?
I tweeted out a picture of us just moments ago. I thought it was you. You didn't. It wasn't? You sure? You can go to @RalphGarman on Twitter if you want to see that picture of me and Bean.
Right.
I thought it was Bean. I ran up to him and I said, "Hey, I can't believe you're here, buddy." And we took a picture and I tweeted it out. I thought it was great. But
that doesn't seem like the reaction that you would have ordinarily given had I been there.
Well, I was just so surprised and pleased to see you come by. But I guess it wasn't you.
It hasn't posted yet, Ralph.
Oh, it hasn't? Really?
Yeah,
or maybe
not there.
Was it taken down? Maybe Twitter said nope.
Oh, I see. It says sending tweets. Still hasn't.
Oh, no.
All right. Well,
soon.
It'll be up shortly,
okay.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Well, you've been meeting a lot of people. I know a lot of people coming by from the Garmy wanting to take pictures and stuff, and they've been giving out 21 Pilots tickets and Danny Elfman Halloween tickets and Panic at the Disco and Bad Religion, Stan Lee's LA Comic-Con, so much more. And you're going to be there till the end of the show, and then the event happens until 1 if folks want to come by and give some blood today in Universal, right?
Absolutely. 1 o'clock is when they're cutting off, but we've still got a line outside. I mean, it's been great. People have shown up so early to give blood, so we really appreciate it.
All right, time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
Yes, Ashley Graham, you know her, plus-size model, made news when she was on the cover of Sports Illustrated magazine. She wants everyone to know that if you can dream it, you can do it, she says. She did an interview with People magazine. She said she used to call herself fat and ugly and disgusting. But then she realized that wasn't the life she wanted for herself, so she changed her thoughts, and she said she changed her life. Here's the thing. It's easy to do that when you're smoking hot, Ashley Graham.
Right.
But for people who are genuinely fat, ugly, and disgusting, just changing their mind isn't going to change the fact. Damn her.
Yeah.
Speaking on behalf of the fat, ugly, and disgusting party, I do not approve of that message. You know Robin Lord Taylor from Gotham?
Yes.
Sure.
He's talking about how right now we live in a fearful country, people thinking maybe the country isn't going the right way. He said he has the perfect solution for for people to get inspiration.
Okay.
And for people who believe in the best that America has to offer. He says, watch more Judge Judy.
Watch more Judge Judy.
Huh. Yes. He says he never misses an episode. And he says it's proof to him that there's someone good in the world. So Judge Judy restores his faith in humanity.
I'm telling you what, and now that we live in a world where reality TV stars can legitimately run for president, I would vote for Judge Judy.
Right?
That's baloney.
I'm serious.
It doesn't make sense.
She's no nonsense. She's smart. I feel like she would do a great job.
Not interested, sir.
Oh. Well,
you know what? She is making $42 million a year with her TV show.
It'd be a step down.
She might not want to run for president.
So you get Zippo, nada. Yeah.
But sorry, she started that business with $1 million loan from her mom, though, is what I heard.
That's a different person running for president.
Yeah.
Fox has announced a brand new TV show that makes me grit my teeth and scream.
Is that good?
No.
Okay.
It's called The B Team.
The A-Team,
of course. This is the B-Team.
Yes.
This is about a former Navy SEAL who decides to form the, wait for it, Badass Task Force of Elite Assault Mercenaries. The B-T-E-A-M, or B-Team.
Okay.
And the creator and star of the show will be King Botch. You know King Batch?
I don't
Andrew
know.
Bachelor.
Oh, no. Is he the Vine guy?
He is the Vine guy,
Ali. Oh,
yes,
wow.
He is the number one creator of Vines on Vine. And
King Bach.
King Batch. I think
it's
Batch.
Said Bach, though.
Is it?
I think.
His name is Andrew Bachelor.
I don't...
So wouldn't it make sense that his name would be Batch?
I'm getting my information from Dave, the King of Mexico, so that's a coin flip right there.
You're listening to a pronunciation of a name from Dave.
Yes.
Is that what I just want to double check?
Yeah, I mean, when you say it that way.
He did say it was Kang, too.
Well,
the guy's name is Andrew Bachelor, B-A-C-H-E-L-O-R. If he was going to shorten his name, wouldn't it be King Batch? B-A-C-H?
I think that's a reasonable guess.
You think he would call himself King Bach?
More importantly, because he can make a vine means he can star in a TV show on a network, right?
Yes, that's what it means.
That's the takeaway I have.
And if you watch his vines, you just want to just, oh, the things you want to do.
Hug him?
Yeah, that's a choice.
Real hard.
Just keep hugging and hugging until he doesn't hug back anymore.
Just shake him till he's quiet? Is that what you're saying?
Just keep hugging. Never stop hugging.
Ralph,
you can find a length of rope and hug him with.
I don't think that's what we're saying.
Well. Your photo posted on your Twitter account out, Ralph Garman, and I see what the confusion was because that's a photo of you with Frankenstein's monster.
You sure that's not you?
Yeah, did not stop.
You walked to the door. I did a double take. I was like, "Hey, Bean's here."
Yeah, very similar, very close look here.
Big,
but no,
giant, not creepy guy.
Yeah, not this time. Not me.
You could see where I made the mistake.
Well, it's understandable, sure.
And speaking of big, giant, creepy guys, there's a new thing in New York City. If you're traveling there and you want to see a new tourist attraction. It is the Taylor Swift Experience.
Oh, go right to hell.
I've been seeing a lot of pictures of this. It looks pretty sweet.
Or go right to hell.
It is at the South Street Seaport in Manhattan on November 19th through February. And the exhibit has her clothes, her stage outfits, a banjo of hers.
Wow.
You can see Taylor Swift's banjo.
Played a lot of banjo.
Thank you, Bean.
Wore a lot of outfits.
And I would like to see Taylor Swift's banjo.
It's not a euphemism. It's literally the instrument.
Oh, we're talking musical. I'm sorry.
And to fulfill the exhibit, apparently, for the Taylor Swift Experience at the end, when you're done, Taylor Swift says she's your friend, then she turns on you and writes an awful song about
you. I like it. I like that part.
It's the full experience. Tickets are only $9 each.
Oh, that's sad.
Right?
Yes.
Why is that not nice? Just a value for her fans. They don't have to spend a ton of money. Why is that not a good thing?
Or they did the research and they realized that no one would spend $10 or more on the Taylor Swift Experience.
I feel like that's overpriced. I feel like they should be giving it to you for like $3 or $4.
They give you $9.
Imagine how bad she smells,
oh,
man.
Come on.
Can you?
That's
she is an abject, psychopathic demon from hell.
Right. That's mean is what that is.
She is a nasty woman. In the words of Donald Trump.
She has tremendous hate in her heart.
That's for sure. Celebrity birthdays today. All these stars born on today, October 21st. Carrie Fisher, King. Princess Leia herself.
She's a king now?
King Leia would be really cool.
That would be cool.
Once she transitioned. She is 60 years old today. And Amber Rose, you know her as a model. and the hostess of Loveline, the podcast. She's 33 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We have a thing called the internet, and it's pretty cool, you guys, but it's big.
It's
and there's
cool.
a lot of stuff to keep track of, and that's why we do our best to find the best viral videos of the week and put them in one handy location at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. We call it the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Yo, K-Rock listeners around the world, it is time for the Internet Roundup, so tell all the boys and girls, we've got funny and sexy, even music too, we've got all the greatest videos, and they're mostly on YouTube. Click your mouse in the air like you don't care, you could watch these videos all up in your underwear. Internet, internet, come on baby, watch some, and now it's time for the Internet Roundup, yeah!
Our producer Dave, the King of Mexico, joins us in studio. Hey King, how are you?
TGIF, guys. TGIF.
Is it a G?
I think it's a G, right?
Or J. I'm not sure how you're saying it.
What did I say?
I'm not positive.
Yeah, might have.
Wow.
It's Friday.
Yeah.
The King puts the roundup together for us every week. And, of course, a lot of anticipation for the return of The Walking Dead on AMC this Sunday night. And there are a lot of people who love the comics and also love the TV show, but can't help but point out that there are a lot of differences between the two. You know, sometimes they don't want to repeat themselves. It happens one way in the comic book, and then it's different on the TV show. And that's what this video is all about. And I just found it fascinating. Check it out.
After their raid, Shane sacrifices Otis in order to escape with the goods, because Shane was a big pile of shit.
Otis lives past the events on the farm in the comics, though he is eventually killed trying to keep zombies out of the prison.
It's kind of crazy when you watch this video to realize how much stuff has happened and how busy Robert Kirkman has been over the last few years.
Yeah, that was season two,
creating
right?
Creating this
year. Yeah, season two.
Yeah. I mean, hundreds of characters. It's amazing. Now, Allie, for some reason, you haven't been watching The Walking Dead, and I can't figure out why. What's up with that?
You know me. I'm out. I'm busy.
Right. No time for TV.
So, yeah. I'm just very busy. Thanks for asking.
Well, it's not too late to get on board. Season 7 starts Sunday. And, in fact, for people just like you who maybe haven't gotten on board yet, John Cleese, our friend John Cleese that we just had on the Kevin and Bean Show last week, he has put together a video where he brings you up to date with everything that's happened so far.
Rick finds his wife and his boy. Hooray! No, not hooray. Rick's busy Shane has been boffing his wife, Laurie, and playing daddy to his son, whose name I can't quite remember.
Carl.
Carl!
Carl!
Oh, that's it. Carl.
Oh, I love him.
John Cleese makes everything hilarious. A great British actor, Jonathan Pryce, who you'd recognize from a million different movies, he's doing a bit where he is reading, and they call this tweets that sound better out loud. So proving, once again, you put a fancy British accent on something, everything sounds great. In this case, I think the tweet he's doing is a Kanye West one.
I specifically ordered Persian rugs with cherub imagery. What do I have to do to get a simple Persian rug with cherub imagery?
I want Jonathan Pryce to be the voice of my Waze. I want him to be the voice of my Siri. I want him to do all of my talking for me.
We should do fantastic. Thanks for that tweet, Bean, with that voice. The British.
I like it. Could make his better, though.
Vogue magazine has a video series that they do that I just love. It's called 73 Questions With. And that's not an exaggeration. They just bombard stars. They did one with Serena Williams not long ago. The new one is Emma Stone. And just one right after another, as fast as she can handle them, they're throwing questions at her. And, of course, she's adorable in answering them.
What's the funniest thing you've ever read about yourself on the internet?
Oh, I once read that I look like a fish inside of a chicken smoking a cigarette.
If you're a rap artist, what would your stage name be?
MCM. See?
It's so great. It's totally worth watching the whole thing. I don't know why somebody thought of this, but someone's a fan of Childish Gambino, the rapper, and thought, hey, you know what? I would love to mix his stuff with the Stranger Things theme song. Again, not necessarily two great tastes that taste great together, but I think it works.
These rappers are afraid of him, because I'm a beast, bitch, girl. Invaders and Gambino is a call girl. Gave me a brand new whip, 40 like slavery. Told me I was awful and that did not.
That's pretty cool.
I don't hate it.
Yeah. I don't either.
That Stranger Thing themes will make everything better.
And so will Childish Gambino.
No, the theme, I think it's a theme.
I think it's Gambino.
That was both.
It's Gambino.
Okay, back
the
you.
Theme.
I will kill
the guy
you.
Who does the 10-second songs, he can sing in any style, is back. And this time he has taken on 21 Pilots doing Heathens. Now, in this clip, you'll hear him doing the song as David Bowie, as Oasis, and then as Cypress Hill. Listen to how talented this dude is.
Wow.
Again, that's Heathens he's doing, and he's singing all these and playing all the instruments on it, too. I mean, the guy's just amazing. All right, speaking of music, I love this. I don't know if this has ever been released before, but there's a new album coming out in a couple of weeks that collects all of the BBC Radio live performances of the band Queen. And they were on a number of times over the years. And in this clip that you're going to hear, they are performing We Will Rock You, probably one of the most famous songs. You hear it at every sporting event. You heard it all over the Dodgers game last night. And we all know how We Will Rock You goes. Listen to the difference in this version that they perform live on the BBC Radio.
That's
amazing. About you guys? I love that.
Yep.
That is great.
I love it.
I like it. It's hot. I'm going to buy it.
Honest Trailers is back, one of my favorite series on the internet. And this time, they talk about the most recent release of Ghostbusters.
Get ready for the film that everyone in their blog rushed to judge before they'd even seen it. And prove to all the haters that it's bad. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I mean, it's not as bad as they said it was going to be, but still, it's pretty bad.
Tom Cruise was the guest on the Late Night Show with James Corden. Ralph brought us this clip yesterday, but it's worth revisiting in the Internet Roundup, where they act out all of his film career. I mean, they do about 20 Tom Cruise movies in the course of 10 minutes. And this particular clip, they're doing the famous Show Me the Money scene from Jerry Maguire, when Cuba Gooding Jr., who is the star in the original movie, he shows up and shows James Corden how to do it right.
What are you doing?
Just doing the same from John. Just doing your line.
If you're gonna do it, let me do it right then. Show me the money.
Show me the money.
Show me.
Me. Money.
I didn't recall until I watched this that there have been 5 Mission Impossible movies, by the way.
Seen them all.
Than that many?
Yep.
5 of them.
Seen them all.
Not one of them.
Love and, of course, Tom Cruise is back at theaters with the new Jack Reacher film this weekend. Jake Bird, who is Jimmy character's man on the street, was in Las Vegas for the 3rd presidential debate. And in this clip, he's talking to, I believe, Hillary Clinton supporters about their gal.
When they go low, I get high. $3 million! $3 million!
She is so pretty, and I love her so much.
She's a 2 at best.
Jake is always awesome. And finally, from Jimmy Kimmel Live, I love when he does this too. He goes out onto the street and he can convince people of everything. In this case, he went and he bought a pair of shoes, a pair of discount shoes, really ugly, for $12.50. And then he convinced the people out in front of his theater that this was the new Yeezy shoe, which would cost what? A couple of $1,000, something like that?
Retail, about 3-something, yeah.
Yeah, the Yeezy Boost 2000. And listen to some of the stuff that his person lies to about what's going on with these shoes.
Is this a compass?
It's a compass.
That's
you know
crazy.
Why? What's Kanye's daughter's name?
North.
Northwest.
Yeah,
right?
That's so cool.
Isn't that cool?
I like that a lot.
The suede was specifically designed to feel like Kim's backside.
That's what her butt feels like?
Yeah.
Wow.
They're edible laces. Try it. Take a bite out of the legs. What does it taste like?
It tastes really good.
It's a great batch of videos.
I'm not a shoe head, but those shoes were pretty sick, bro. Like
the ones that they were.
Yeah,
the
I liked them. I like the compass and the fur I could do without. The fur I could do without, but the compass looked cool though. I was like,
all right.
I might have to ask Jamie for them. It was pretty cool.
Hipster Dave, take it easy.
Dave, go down to East LA with $12 and get yourself.
I guess I can, right?
You can see all these videos and so much more right now at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Those videos were awesome. Now baby, go watch the Internet Roundup.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 20 minutes till 10.
One more time from K-Rock's Vein Drain Blood Drive at Universal Studios Hollywood. Our friend Ralph Garman is there. And Ralph, you'd be happy to know your whipping boy is here in the studio as well.
Well, I just, the last show, we were talking about this new show on Fox called B-Team. about a group of mercenaries, a la the A-Team, only it's they're not as good, and it is starring Vine's number one creator, Andrew Batchelor, who I said mistakenly, apparently, that he goes by the name on Vine of King Batch, and luckily we have our crack producer, Dave, the King of Mexico, to correct me, and
yeah.
He is very, very adamant about the fact that I was mispronouncing that nickname, that it was, in fact, King Bach. So I just wanted to say to Dave, thanks for setting me straight, Dave. I appreciate that.
No problem, Ralph. I'm here for you.
Oh, wait a minute. Isn't that... Don't we have a Vine?
We do, actually. Yeah.
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm with the homie King Bach, kind of like Maybach.
No, it's Batch, like a batch of cookies, Cody!
Dave?
Well, since to settle it right from the man himself, he would know.
Well, listen. Here's what happened. Listen. So Lamorne Morris comes in. He's his friend. Like, uh-huh. Good friend.
Winston from The New Girl.
Yeah, he's in his vines and everything. Mm-hmm. And I say to him, I says, hey, so I saw you on the stream. He's with King Bach. He's like, yeah, Bach's my boy. We're friends. So mm-hmm. There you go. There's my confirmation. So I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. So I was confident in saying, hey, it's King Bach. And I've heard King Bach
maybe,
all through.
Maybe less confidence from you.
Hmm. How about that?
Hmm.
So I'm you're saying it's the fault of one of the stars of New Girl.
Yes.
It's not your bad.
I'm putting it on you, Lamorne.
Oh, okay. All right. Fair enough. All right. Get out of my seat.
Sorry. Yeah. I'm out.
New releases today as we look at the Showbiz Beat. New CDs and available music if you want to check it out. Jimmy Eat World has a new album out called Integrity Blues.
Yes, please.
Also, Korn. Korn is a new Korn album out called The Serenity of Suffering.
Hmm.
Do we have a track from that new Korn album?
Oh,
they still got it.
They
haven't lost a step.
new Lady Gaga music today. Joanne, her new album hits the streets today. And if you want to see her perform live, I think, if I'm not mistaken, she's going to be the musical guest on Saturday Night Live this weekend.
Allie, because she's playing on Saturday Night Live this weekend. Lady Gaga!
I liked hers better.
Hers is better.
Yeah, but
by the way,
how's
that for a lineup? Lady Gaga is your musical guest. Tom Hanks as your host, everybody.
Hack.
Right?
Yeah. I was thinking, if you're coming down to Universal Studios to give blood, and you should, they'll be here till 1 p.m. taking blood, you should make a day of it. Why don't you go do Universal Studios while you're here, right?
That's a good idea.
I haven't been in a while, and I took the kid a couple weeks ago. My wife and the kid, we came here and spent the day at Universal Studios. It's just such a great time. Saw that Harry Potter world for the first time.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Very impressive. And it made me think of this story. Bruce Springsteen said this week that he actually wrote and recorded a song for the very first Harry Potter movie, but they rejected it.
Really?
Yes. He said the track was called I'll Stand By You Always, and it's a ballad. And he wrote it, actually, for Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. And the producer said, no thanks.
Wow.
Okay.
I don't think it would have fit. But who tells...
I'm sure that's what the producers thought.
But who tells Bruce no?
If he's willing to offer up a song, you take it, right?
I would think so, but I can't imagine how it would have fit.
Well, Harry could have done a duet with him. It would have been great. You know, when I put on my sorting hat, they decided I should go to Slytherin, and I grabbed my wand. That's not a wand. In music news, did you know that you still can't stream Garth Brooks' music?
Yeah, he's been kind of a holdout. Didn't he set up his own like streaming platform at one point where that was the only way you could get his music is through his site?
Yes, but now apparently he's also, you can get him on Amazon Music. He just broke down and went there, but you still can't stream on Spotify or any of those other services.
Huh.
And I was surprised by the list of performers that have also held out.
Yes, it's infuriating.
Easy being.
It is so bad. It's infuriating.
It's just, it's interesting at best. It's not infuriating. Aaliyah, you can't get her music on streaming services. De La Soul. I don't know how big the demand is, but still, if you wanted it, you couldn't get it. Def Leppard, not available via streaming.
Huh.
Bob Seger, Suede, Tool, Tom York's solo work is not available via streaming. And I can't believe this, the star of this caliber, Yoko Ono. You can't get Yoko Ono's work via streaming. I mean, how are you supposed to hear her dulcet tones? How am I supposed to nod off at night with my earbuds in unless I put on a little Yoko Ono and play my head down?
I
think what happened is the internet just said, nope.
They tried to stream it, but it won't take. For some reason, it won't travel across the internet. It's very annoying. Ah, Anderson Cooper looks like he's going to be a married man soon. He is marrying his longtime boyfriend, Benjamin Masani, according to RadarOnline.com. He's been getting pushed by his mother, Gloria Vanderbilt, who wants him to quit shacking up, in her words. No, Anderson, it's kind of serious. Your mom has a point, I think. She wants you to... Anderson?
All right, sorry.
Can you please pull it together? And so his mom, Gloria Vanderbilt, said she would like to have one more big happy occasion in their family's life before she dies. Dies, Anderson. Is that funny? Is that funny to you? Oh, such a dick, right?
I could listen to that tape every day. It just makes me happy.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. All these stars born on today, October 21st. Carrie Fisher, Princess Leia herself, is 60. Is she like a... When did she become a queen? Never? She stay a princess forever? Allie, you're our Star Wars expert.
Yes.
All right. Thanks so much. How checked out is Allie, by the way?
Well, she's putting stuff in her purse right now, if that gives you any indication.
Is she packing up her Diet Dr. Pepper by any chance?
Pretty
That's
much.
When you know it's over. And model, personality, Loveline podcast host Amber Rose, Philadelphia's own, is 33 years
Finally
old.
Finally, a decent host on Loveline, am I right?
Finally, right? Finally got around to it. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with a commercial-free drive home today at 5 p.m. on the world-famous K-Rock, and we will see you back here on Monday morning.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Love the passion.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. It over to me.
I don't think you could do it any better.
Roll another one.
You belong in a casket.
Just like the other one.
I don't like it.
This one seems to be about to quit.
I'd like to punch him in the face.
And I need another hit.
I will totally accept the results of this great and historic presidential election if I win.
Wrong.
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 Another one.
It's just words, folks. It's just words.
Just like the other one.
Says who?
This one seems to be about to end.
I don't know. Ask Tori Spelling's mom.
And I don't have another.
Would you believe a girl from L.A. would love Bill Withers?
She's a mess. A total mess.
Just pass it around.
Gimme, 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 gimme.
Roasted. What the hell was that donkey dung?
Not our best show, sure, but hey, we'll get him next time.
Normally, I would say auf Wiedersehen. But since what auf Wiedersehen actually means is till I see you again, and since I never wish to see you again, to you, sir, I say goodbye. Let's go.
Well, that was a mess. Let's not do that again. Never. Right, guys? Okay, all agreed.
We have some bad hombres here, and we're going to get them out.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
So this is Vin Scully wishing you a very pleasant good afternoon wherever you may be.
Lady Gaga!